Blog Talk Radio.
Jot time.
Man resides in the brightly lit realm he assumes to be reality.
Really?
But there is, unperceived by most, a netherworld. A place just as real, but not so clearly lit. An eerie side.
I am on the side of eerie at all times, and free virtual pastry for all listeners today. Good evening, welcome to Eerie House Radio, old-timey radio, no less. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. I am accompanied by
Dave Binkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship. When I have a complaint, Dale, the virtual bakery stuff is not very filling. It's not bad on the sugar count, but it's still not very filling.
No, but GGSI paper reports that today is national. Is there such a thing as natural pastries? I don't know. I almost said pasties. Pastry Day.
I think chocolate covered donuts are a natural pastry.
I would enjoy National Pasties Day, too. But, welcome, GGSI Paper. Welcome, Foxbane. Hi. And also, good old Bob, who are in the chat live with us. You know who's not with us at the moment?
The guy who's coming home from the grocery store.
Yes, with bad reception for a moment. That's right. Our evil triplet, Gar the Ghoul.
He's on
his way, and he says.
Yeah, he's on his way, about 2 minutes away at this point, and so sitting in for him, we do have the yodeling pickle. There we go.
Little does Gar know.
Yes.
While he wasn't listening, looking, I switched the carrier on his phone to his cable company, Cox.
Oh, he can't call then.
that could have something to do with his absence. We don't know. Are we being
don't
truthful?
Don't leave your house because we know where you live. Yes.
That's right. Could we be telling the truth or could we be simply acting?
Could be.
That was a lame segue, but we got here nonetheless. That's right. It's an actor's life tonight.
Yes.
By hook or crook, we'll get here. We're all over the map tonight. We've got a comedy, of course, with Blondie. A comedian in an episode of Suspense, the great Milton Berle, Uncle Milty. And then a more dramatic episode, I think. I'm only guessing because I'm not familiar with it. A story from Theater 5.
Yes. I think we should save really interesting his portrayal. I think we should save Uncle Milty, Mr. Television, as our last radio presentation of the night.
I could see him doing drama. I've even read that some people described him in real life as something of a jerk. Uncle Milty.
Well, you know what? I've seen him, you know, and he played a dramatic role in It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. And he did in Who's Minding the Mint. I think, actually, in some ways, I think he was a better dramatic actor than I feel he was a comedian, to be honest with you. On his radio show, he was almost more of a straight man, it seems. Frank Gallup was his sidekick, who was, and you may remember him from the album You Don't Have to Be Jewish. He did the Ballad of Irving. Absolutely hilarious.
I love that song.
That was his sidekick on radio. And he also had on the show
Fastest Gun in the West.
Yeah, that's right.
As I recall.
Butterfingers Irving, yeah. But then on his radio show, he also had regulars of Arnold Stang and Jack Albertson. Yes, from Chico and the Man, Jack Albertson. So he had about 2 years on radio before he slid into television really a little earlier than anyone else. And bringing almost a vaudeville flavor to television for several years.
I prefer to think of him as Jack Albertson from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
He's there too. Yep, the grandpa wouldn't get out of bed for 20 years or something.
What's troubling me is why is Fogsbane giving license plate numbers in the chat there? What the hell is that? Is he speaking in code? Is that a foreign phone number? Don't get the FBI on me, man. Anyway, I don't know.
Yep.
It's a license plate in Europe somewhere. I don't know. He's speaking in code. I don't know. It's all good. Oh, that's right. Duh. It's our show number, for crying out loud. It's our 320th Erie House and 600 old-time radio and our 672nd show overall, Dave.
And you gave an interesting number just before we went on. What was that number you gave from
We should hit 64,000 overall listens by the end of this year. Because we are at 63.9 and change. We generally get a minimum of 100 a month. Some months we really kill that. But on average, we do, you know, or a couple hundred a month. Excuse me. So we should easily get to the 64 large. Yeah. That's a $64,000 question. How many have you listened?
So now I know I'm so tired. Jeez, and crackers.
Yeah. Oh, well, no, it would be that, and hundreds of episodes of Weirdness Really Bad, and a bunch of episodes of Spaceship One, and oh, that job thing you do.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I could have a little something to do with it. So I know you've got other things to do there, and a homeowner.
Yeah.
You lazy piece of work, you.
No, I'm telling you.
And you haven't untied the Gordian knot yet? Shame for shame.
Yeah. I actually just celebrated our 26th wedding anniversary on Wednesday.
I saw that somewhere, and hopefully you got my little response to that. I'm in the 33rd year of my life sentence.
All you can say is that poor woman. We've been married 26 years, and she was married 17 years before that. I was married 11 years before that. I've been married longer than I've been alive. So, you know.
What? Wait, no. How?
you add all that up, and you add up all those numbers.
Virginia.
You know, 25 and 25 is 50, and 11 is 61, and then you tack on another 17. You know, been married all those years. Isn't that how it works?
Okay. Dave Math, real math. That's the new.
Oh my!
Dave Math, I can't be out of money. There's checks left in the checkbook.
That's right. There we go.
There we go.
Official word from the goat.
The goat.
The goat. Yeah.
Well, while we wait for Mr. Gar, we don't have to wait anymore.
You mean the guy just tuned in here?
Do you have a note, sir?
I do have a note, sir. I was in the grocery store.
You are 4 minutes and 46 seconds late.
Did you pick me up something good? Hey, today is National Pastry Day. Did you pick up a nice pastry?
No, I thought they said pasties. I got two. Hello. No, I'm just
kidding. Hey, hello.
Hey, what?
Hello, ladies.
Oh, goodness. We got to stop this. Anyway.
CW is going to beat us up.
We got a whole lot of radio.
CW is going to beat us up something fierce.
Oh, yes.
And we deserve it.
She's here. Yeah.
Being an equal opportunity girl, I would have said, well sure, I'll share.
Yep. Well, we got three great stories for you tonight, and I agree with Dave. We should probably save suspense for last.
Yeah.
Keep you in suspense for suspense.
Yeah.
First
you jiggle, then you're suspended.
Yeah. Which will feature Milton Berle. Let's go ahead and start
with Blondie. We should start with Blondie.
Blondie.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
This radio episode is called Alexander the Actor, fitting right into our theme. And Gar, you got me a original broadcast date, maybe?
Yeah, I'm out by the car. Let's say 1822.
I'll help you out here, Gar. How about February 16th of 1950?
Yep, 16th of 50 or 1882. Take your pick.
Ah, don't touch that dial. Listen to... Yes, folks, it's another half hour of fun with Blondie and Dagwood, with Arthur Lake as Dagwood, Ann Rutherford as Blondie, and Hanley Stafford as Mr. Dithers. Blondie and Dagwood in just a minute, but first a word from the Ford dealers of America. Again for 1950, Ford has won the Fashion Academy Gold Medal Award as Fashion Car of the Year. Listen to what Mr. George I. Hutchings, a fireman from Des Moines, Iowa, one of the more than 230,000 happy owners, said about his 50 Ford.
I was surprised a low-priced car could have the room and beauty inside that my 50 Ford has. I was expecting that only the most expensive cars would have that much space and would look as rich. With the style on the inside equal to that on the outside, I can see now why my friends told me to get a new Ford. The smooth power and pep of that V8 engine and the comfort of driving my 50 Ford makes me the proudest car owner in town.
Comments like that are heard every day by Ford dealers. But we want you to prove for yourself that the new 1950 Ford is the one truly fine car in its field. The classified phone directory will give you the name of your nearest Ford dealer, or perhaps you know him personally. Call him tomorrow and ask for a test drive in the new 1950 Ford. Feel its comfort. Hear the purr of its mighty V8 or 95 horsepower 6. See its many big car features. Yes, see, hear, and feel the difference yourself. Test drive the new 1950 Ford tomorrow.
And now for our weekly visit with your neighbors, the Bumsteads of Shady Lane Avenue. Well, it's about 6 o'clock in the evening in the Bumstead household. Dagwood has just come home from the office, has taken his usual dive for the couch, and is lying there all unraveled as Blondie tells him what happened during the day.
And then at 4 o'clock, Alexander's school teacher, Miss Ellerby, called
yeah,
up.
Yeah, and she said she was keeping Alexander after school.
And said that she was keeping... How did you know?
Well, last night, Alexander got me to teach him my good old 1-2 punch.
You're encouraging him to fight, Dagwood. Oh, shame on you.
Oh, no, I'm not, but I'll bet he's passing out a few black eyes that he owes to a few of his friends on his way home. I wish I was young again. Boy, would I get into trouble.
Well, I don't think he's been fighting.
No, he's a Bumstead, and I'll bet he's been fighting.
What do you bet?
Well, I'll bet. Okay, if he hasn't been fighting, I'll do the dishes tonight. Now, if he has been fighting, you've got to take care of the furnace. How
about
that?
It's a bet.
And that includes going down to look at it at 5 in the morning.
Well, that's a hard bargain, but okay.
Am I going to enjoy kicking you out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning? Oh, boy.
Oh, I'll see who it is, dear.
Okay. I'll just curl up here on the couch and rest my eyes a little bit.
Why, hello, Miss Ellerby. Well, come right in.
How do you do, Mrs. Bumstead? Thank you. Oh, my, this room is so homey. Those beautiful curtains, the lovely furniture, the rugs, and... Oh, this cute dog sleeping on the couch.
Hey, cut out. Ah, ah, you're tickling. Hey, oh. Now get your hands off me. Now, oh.
It's not a dog, it's a man.
It's
Yes, Miss Ellerby. Yes. This is my husband.
How do you do, Mr. Bunstead?
Yes. Hello.
You know, lying there with your tan suit on, looking at me with those big brown eyes, I was sure you were a great dame. Yes. I just couldn't help scratching your ear.
Stop that.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Bunstead. There's just such a resemblance.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
Miss Ellerby, you usually come to see us when something's wrong with Alexander's schoolwork. I hope it's not that tonight.
Mrs. Bunstead, au contraire.
I
said au contraire. That's French for heck no.
Oh, thanks.
I wonder if Alexander has told you about his desire to be an actor. Oh, yes. You see, at school we're having a little dramatic offering.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yes. If this offering is like the last dramatic offering, we'd be smart to refuse it.
Mrs. Bumstead, Alexander has a brilliant talent. I don't think I'm overestimating his acting ability when I say he'll captivate his audience and lay him in the aisles.
That's nice.
Alexander, an actor? Do you really think he has talent?
Well, yes. I definitely feel the kid has a lot on the ball.
Hey, what do you teach, Miss Ellerby?
English, of course. And the drama. Yes, you can't tell, you know. Alexander might grow up to be another Clark Gable. Oh. Or Van Johnson. Oh. Or Montgomery Clift. Oh, I mustn't do this to myself.
I don't know about this, Miss Ellerby.
Mr. Bumstead, it's a very interesting profession. Mm. The good actors make as much as $2,000 or $3,000 a week. And that ain't hay.
Did you say ain't?
Oh, I'm sorry. It just slipped out.
Yeah. What would the school board say if they knew you said
ain't? Mr. Bumstead, I hope you'll keep my little grammatical slip strictly entre nous.
Entre nous?
That's French for under your hat.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
Now, you won't discourage Alexander in his acting aspirations, will you?
Oh, no, we won't say anything for a while, at least.
Well, thank you. Now, I really must be running along, and thank you again so much.
Well, I'm glad you dropped in, Miss Ellerby.
Au revoir.
Yeah, Ford Coupe.
Oh, Mr. Bumstead, I still say you'd make a wonderful great dame. Mm-hmm.
That's a fine English teacher. Yeah.
Now, there, dear. I don't think you look like a great dame. Mm-hmm. Only a little bit around your muzzle. I mean, your mouth.
Oh, Blondie.
Oh, I'm just joking, dear. Oh, I think I just heard the back door. Mm. That must be Alexander.
Oh, is that you, Alexander?
Yes, it is I.
Alexander, what have you been doing?
Oh, good evening, Pater.
Huh?
Good evening, Mater. Jeepers! I'm so sorry I was delayed. It's a splendid evening this evening. And this, Pop?
What kind of talk is that?
Alexander, is that you?
It always has been.
Oh, look, Alexander, look, let's forget all that stuff. Look, have you been fighting today?
Oh, perish the thought. Ridiculous.
No, look, just answer yes or no, that's all. Yes or no.
No, Pater.
Hey, what is this Pater business? What is this?
Oh, don't you know, old chap? That's British for Latin for my old man.
Alexander, look, now what goes on here?
Wait a minute, Dagwood. I know. It's what Miss Ellerby said.
You mean that I look like a great dame?
No.
That
Alexander might be a great actor. Oh. He's being an actor.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. Oh, yeah, I get it now, yeah.
Well, Alexander, you just don't talk like yourself.
Yeah, and you don't act like a real Bumstead either.
Why, Dad, if I ever shall again, I'm thinking of changing my name.
Alexander.
Yes, Pater?
And don't call me Pater, I'll call you Potato.
Well, very well, sir. What do you mean you're thinking of changing your name?
Well, Mater, I think
what your father said about Pater goes double for Mater. Now, what's wrong with your name, please?
Well, it doesn't have any dignity.
What's the matter with Bumstead?
Bumstead. It sounds like a man falling down the stairs.
And what name were you thinking of?
Well, how about... Alexander Barrymore. Of course, it would only be my stage name. Off stage, my name would be Alexander Gable.
Yeah.
Lucky my girl's name is Sylvia.
Now, see, Dagwood, he does want to be an actor.
Oh, no, not that, please.
Yes, I can't decide whether to be an actor and be famous or be a ham and make money. Ah, yeah. Oh, what a decision. To be or not to be, that is the question. A Hamlet, you know.
Yeah, I know. You know, I played Hamlet once myself. Mm-hmm. I walked on the stage in tights and the audience laughed, and then I bent over and they split. then I read my line. Parting is such sweet sorrow. And my pants came down with the curtain.
Dagwood.
Yeah.
Now tell us all about this, Alexander.
Oh, it's really nothing, except that you're looking at the star of the school play.
Oh, my.
Well, that would be an utter sight that I was the most talented actor in our school.
Mm.
And about my fighting, Pop.
Yes.
I won't be in any more fights.
Huh?
I wouldn't dare take a chance of marring my classic features.
You may not be an actor, but you're already a ham.
More like his father every day. Mm.
Well, I've got to go upstairs for a moment now. Mm. I wish to see if I can put a little romantic wave into my hair. Tell me when dinner is.
No, holy smoke. Hey, how do you like that? Our son, an actor.
My, you'd think he was a star already.
Mm.
I've never seen him put on such airs. And if he turns out to be good in the play... He probably won't even speak to
her. Yeah, imagine, Alexander Barrymore.
Well, we'll just have to see what happens.
Mm.
But don't you forget now, tonight you wash the dinner dishes, and
yes.
Be sure you don't break any.
Yeah, what are you going to do, Blondie?
I want to do what you usually do.
Oh, you do, huh? Well, let's see. Well, I sit in a big chair with my paper and get real comfortable and loosen my suspenders, and you can do the best you can.
This is wonderful with Dagwood doing the dishes. If I can make some more bets like that, life is going to be very simple.
Woo! Oh, no.
Well, life will be simple, but we'll be eating off paper plates. Dagwood. Now, Dagwood, that was your fault.
No, it wasn't. You shouldn't buy such slippery soap. Dishes are leaping out of my hands all by themselves.
Well, what did you break?
Well, you know that gravy boat?
Yes.
Well, no one will ever sail in it again. Yeah, it's a complete shipwreck.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah.
You know, dear, you look very cute in that little apron of mine with the pink ruffles.
Yeah, now stop that.
Oh, may I powder your little nose?
Mm. You cut that out. When my nose needs powdering, I'll powder it myself in the powder room. Oh, no.
Dear, I'd like to see you wear that apron every night when you wash the dishes.
Oh, hey, Pop. Hey, Mom. I mean, oh, Father. Oh, Mother, dear.
Yeah. What is it?
I've been thinking about... Holy smoke, Pop's wearing an apron.
Yes, he's doing the dishes.
Gee, Pop, you look just like a girl.
Yeah, I thought it was a Great Dane.
Well, I just wanted to tell you that I decided not to change my name to Barrymore.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
How does this sound? Alexander Boyer. Ah, but yes, you must come with me to the Casbah. Ah, indeed, we will beget the wood in the Casbah.
How's that?
Bah. Now, go on upstairs and get after your studies, Alexander, and that doesn't include making faces at yourself in the mirror, either.
Very well, Father, dear.
Yeah. And don't call me Father, dear. Call me Pop, dear.
Well, whatever you say, sir. Oh, by the way, Mom.
Yes, Alexander.
Tomorrow morning, I think I'll have breakfast in bed. A tea bags and crimpets, please.
Yeah. Well, good night, Hambone.
Oh, boy, it's midnight. I'll try my new character out of Mom and Pop. I'll talk in this wastebasket so it'll make my voice sound hollow and gruesome. Oh, boy, they both sound asleep. I hide down at the foot of the bed where they can't see me. There. Well, here goes.
What did you say, Blondie? Hey, what's that?
What was what, Dad?
I heard something awful.
It was probably a mouse.
Yeah, it sounded more like a moose.
Oh, nonsense. You probably woke yourself up with your own snoring.
Yeah, well, I don't snore that loud.
Yes, you do. I've had to tell our neighbors that you're testing a foghorn for Point Magoo. Yeah. You're dreaming, dear.
Oh, if I'm dreaming, it sure is a gruesome dreaming.
Dagwood! What was that?
Yeah, well, I happen to ask you first. All I know is that I'm scared silly.
Well, turn on the light.
I'd rather not.
But somebody or something is in the room.
That's why I don't want to turn on the light. I'd rather not see it, Blondie.
Well, I'm going to turn on the light. Dagwood, do you see anything? Dagwood, do you see anything?
How can I? I've got my head under the covers.
Well, I don't see anybody. Guess it must be just our imagination. Well, I'll turn the light off and let's get back to sleep.
You cannot escape your doom.
Oh, that's it.
Who's there?
Evil spirit of Kaloom. Your doom is here. Get down on your knees and say your pajamas.
I mean, say your prayers.
Alexander Bunstead. No, I'm Alexander Karloff.
Alexander Bunstead. Where's that light switch?
Well, how'd you like that bit of acting?
Oh, Dagwood, I want you to take Alexander into his room and give him a... Dagwood? Dagwood? Alexander, look what you've done to your father. He's fainted. Get some water.
Gosh, what a tribute to my acting ability. I laid him in the aisle.
We'll continue our story in just a moment, but first, here's a message from the Ford Dealers of America. More than 230,000 happy owners agree it makes sense to drive the 1950 Ford before you buy any car at any price. And your local Ford dealer invites you to test drive this great new car in your own way. Yes, get behind the wheel of the new Ford, which again for 50 has won the Fashion Academy Award as America's Fashion Car of the Year. Touch the starter and thrill to the instant response of the mighty Ford engine that whispers power. Now take this 50 Ford out into traffic
power.
And notice how completely easy
power.
It is to handle. Then to the open road and feel the big car stability, the solid
power.
Comfort of Ford's famous midship ride. Then glide to a smooth, even stop with Ford's king-size brakes. You'll agree that in every way, here is the one truly fine car in its field. So call your nearest Ford dealer tomorrow. He'll be delighted to arrange a test drive in the new 100-horsepower V8 or its companion in quality, the 95-horsepower 6. See, hear, and feel the difference by test driving the new 1950 Ford.
And get yours now. Hurry up while it's still 1950.
I test drove a 54, but it blew out a transmission on the way out the parking lot.
Yep.
I love the 1950 cars. Just freaking amazing cars.
The later 50s are better. I don't like the early 50s are more rounded, where you got more of your styling and the fins. And
yeah.
All that cool 55
through 59.
All the great
Finn cars forever. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that and the grills.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Lots grills. Of chrome. Lots of
yeah.
chrome.
Like that Edsel, yeah.
As the Lord intended.
Yeah. Yeah.
So saith me.
What do you mean, ours are plastic now. What's wrong with that?
Yeah. No, the bumper is some type of a plastic wrapped styrofoam. I had an accident once and found out when it broke that the bumper was styrofoam, and I was like, "What?"
Yeah.
Ours were metal. They didn't care. They'd go through a brick wall. They didn't care, you know.
That's right. As the Lord intended. But
that's right. Because
we know he was into auto design.
Yeah.
Pretty good story, but you know, it's just not the same unless I hear the following.
Pretty face, funny hat. That's what my blondie is.
Lovable feet, both flat. That's what my Dagwood is.
Blondie's not always right. I let her think she is.
All of my thoughts are bright. Long as he thinks they're his.
Life for us is
fun and crazy.
Baby dumpling.
Us and Daisy.
What a family. Incredible. Bumstead-able.
Hurry, you'll miss your butt.
Watch out, you'll burn your suit. Nothing too much for us. Long as with me there's you.
Dagwood and Blondie.
Blondie and Dagwood.
Always with me there's you.
Now, who played Blondie in this radio program today, Dave?
You know,
we had Penny Singleton,
of
course, in the movies.
Right, and Penny Singleton did the radio, but she did not do the television series. And I think you and I were talking a week or two ago. We said that did he do anything but Dagwood Bumstead in his career?
Not a whole lot.
But he was born to be Dagwood Bumstead, that's for sure.
If anybody was born to do one role, that's one of the, yeah, he's the guy. Gar, did you watch
that
a lot of the Blondie comedies when you were a kid?
I may have been, and I know you don't like the word, exposed to it, but I think that there was.
No, I grew up Catholic. That has a whole new meaning. Sorry, never mind.
Yeah,
that's what the goat says about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, tis the season. I remember on Saturday mornings there was a Blondie cartoon. I don't know how long lived it was, but I recall that.
Yeah,
that's true. There was a Blondie cartoon as well.
Young comics. It was styled after the Young Comics.
Yeah, and also seeing Blondie actually in newsprint every Sunday. It was in there. It was the Sunday.
Yeah, it was there.
Color honeys. That were there. So yeah.
It's still there today.
Again,
the
my exposure might have been a little bit different, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah, his son is taking it over, so it's still in print in the Sunday papers and the dailies as well.
Yeah. I remember the Blondie movies being on Sunday mornings locally here in Cleveland. I think on Channel 6. Old Channel 61, if I recall.
Ooh.
WKBF.
Yeah. Which is became what? Home Shopping Network or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, later
something
61
like that.
Was Home Shopping Network, and it was WCLQ. That's when I was working with the Ghoul on that version of Channel 61 in the early 80s.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm seeing who's here in the chat. We've got good old Bob. We've got GG Sci Paper, which I may have deafened, and Folks Bane is there. Hey, everybody.
Yeah. In this episode, it seems like Baby Dumpling certainly has come a long way, because I believe
he's come a long way. Yeah.
Baby Dumpling is Alexander.
Yeah.
Oh,
Baby Dumpling.
Okay.
He was over.
Yeah.
He was always Alexander by the time they got to radio, but it was the early movies. That's when he was Baby Dumpling, but he got a little big for that.
Then they had the sister Cookie, and I forget what her name was.
But she had a regular name. I always thought it was just Cookie.
Maybe.
And the children were almost a miniature clone of the parents, right?
I don't think Alexander was as dorky as Dagwood.
Okay.
But Arthur Lake, he was funny, but I just can't see him in anything else other than that. I hate to like pigeonhole actors into there. But you know, like I said, was there one guy that was made for
that
role?
Yeah, but he deserves it.
Yeah, but I think of one other actress who was just born to play a certain role. It's when Shelley Duvall played Olive Oil. She was born to be Olive Oil.
Yes, yeah, that was. There were parts of that movie I did not like, but she did that well, and some of the songs are great.
He's Large. That was her song.
Large.
He's large.
Get this. Arthur Lake was in a 1917 movie adaptation of Jack and the Beanstalk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was born in 1905.
Was he Jack or the Beanstalk? Was he Jack
know.
Or the Beanstalk?
He was born in 1905, so he must have been 12 years old.
Who?
Yep. That would probably make him Jack, yeah.
He was in a few other silent films.
Arthur
Boy,
Lake,
nothing,
Dagwood.
Nothing anybody would remember here.
Okay. No, okay. Now, Dave, Shelley Duvall was Olive Oil, not Shelley Long, right?
Didn't I say Shelley Duvall? I thought he did.
I don't know.
I got confused. I don't know. I'm nuts over here. Don't worry about me.
Oh, we love you. Keep it.
I was sitting there going, wait, Shelley Long, Popeye, Olive Oil. That doesn't work. She was dressed up as a turkey lady, as a pilgrim on Cheers. Now she's in Popeye?
Yeah.
No, wrong person. All right, never mind.
No, you know, earwax can be a wonderful thing.
Yes.
No, that was mental confusion right there.
We need more mental confusion. Let's wrap up our episode of
Wait, it's not done? It's not done? Oh, my God.
No,
okay, yes, please finish.
Portion of it.
Make it end. Yes. Boy, boy.
Wow.
Please.
Hold your enthusiasm as we wrap up. Blondie.
Somebody get a broom.
Well, after what happened last night, Dagwood didn't get back to sleep for a while, and consequently, he overslept this morning. He's a little late, and he's had to whiz out the door to top speed.
Hey, goodbye, Dagwood.
Whoa.
Goodbye.
Well, it's almost 9 o'clock and he's not here yet. This morning he's going to be late for sure. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Well, there's 8, but where's 9? Come on, you crooked clock. Strike 9 or I'll take you apart and give you the works.
I made it.
Bumstead.
What?
Why is it that clock always waits for you?
Oh, that's very simple, Mr. Diddy. I run very fast. And according to Einstein, time approaches zero when the velocity of a mass approaches the speed of light.
Well, you're a mess, all right.
Mr. Giddes, yes. Blondie wanted me to discuss a little something with you this morning.
My answer is no, if it's about a raise.
No, it isn't about a raise.
Oh, well, in that case, just sit down and rest your brain.
Yes, thank you. Now, I have a problem.
Well, what's unusual about that? I got a problem, too. I've been married to it for 24 years.
No. This is about Alexander. You know, he wants to be an actor.
You know, I was an actor when I was a boy.
Yeah?
The romantic type, of course. Mm-hmm. Women used to swoon when I'd quiver my nostrils.
Yeah. Imagine that. Mr. Giddes, did you know Shakespeare?
Why, certainly. Out, out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow. A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard anew amore.
Ah.
Do I know Shakespeare?
Yeah, but I meant, did you know him personally?
Bumstead, Shakespeare died in 1616.
Oh, excuse me. That's before your time, I guess, yeah.
I was very small, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, I was a wonderful actor. But it wasn't easy for me.
Yeah, it sounds like it wasn't easy for the audience either. Mr. Diddick, what was your most difficult role?
Trying to make 10 the hard way. Oh! You mean acting?
Yeah.
Oh, well, get this. Ah, darling, come with me to the Casbah. You love me. So kiss me.
Mr. Diddick, I didn't know you cared.
Bumstead, now who did that sound like?
Yeah, it sounded a little bit like Alexander then. Hey, Mr. Diddick, look, now, please, couldn't you just come over home with me tonight and give Alexander a little fatherly advice?
Well, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, well, you know how kids are. They don't pay any attention to what their parents tell them, but they'll listen to the first drip that comes along. I mean the first dope.
Please, never mind the apologies.
Yeah, well, anyway, you could tell him about the disadvantages of being an actor, couldn't you?
Disadvantages?
Yeah.
Well, actors make a lot of money and have to make love to beautiful women and have big homes with swimming pools, have to make love to beautiful women and... what are the disadvantages?
No, please, Mr. Diddick, you will talk to Alexander tonight now, won't you?
What are you having for dinner?
Roast prime ribs of beef with mashed potatoes and gravy.
I'd be delighted.
Hello, dear.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Diddick.
Hi, honey.
Hello, Blondie.
Mr. Diddick.
Well, well. So this is the vest pocket James Mason.
Hmm? Mr. Dithers, I'd like to have a little talk with you.
You might at least wait until I ask you first.
Well, we'll be out in the kitchen. Come on, Dad.
No,
Lord.
I think I'd rather...
Dagwood.
Alexander, I understand that
That's
you...
That's what I wanted to talk to you about, Mr. Dithers. You're a man of the world, aren't you?
Well, I've been around, if that's what you mean.
You catch on. You see, as an actor... I may have to play that I'm sort of devil-may-care type. You know, a whirl with the girls. I thought you might be able to give me a few pointers.
Alexander, you've come to the right man.
What's the first approach, J.C.?
Well, first you... J.C.?
I mean, Mr. Dithers.
That's better. Well, first you flatter the girl. If she's beautiful, tell her she's the most beautiful thing you ever saw. Tell her that compared to her, Ava Gardner looks like Gravel Gertie.
Well, what do you do about homely girls?
You avoid them.
Is that all?
Is that all? I could go on the subject of women for 3 or 4 hours.
Well, go on, Mr. Dithers, go on.
Well, now, suppose you have a pretty secretary, and there she is taking dictation.
Through talking yet?
Yeah, Mr. Dithers, did you give Alexander some fatherly advice?
Yes. Let's just call it advice.
Yeah.
Come in.
Where's Alexander now?
Oh, he's just calling up Little Skirt. That girl he knows.
Can I talk to Sylvia, Mrs. Gibson? Thank you. Did you talk him out of wanting to be an actor?
Well, you see, I...
Well, go ahead. What were you talking about?
Sylvia? Hello, Sylvia. This is Alexander. How are you, you gorgeous hunk of plunder? Gorgeous hunk of plunder?
Yeah, but what kind of talk is that?
Well, I better be running along now.
Well, certainly you are. Why, Sylvia, you make Ava Gardner look like Gravel Gertie. Boy, Mr. Dithers, has she ever eaten it up?
Well, I better be running along now.
Listen, Luscious, if you're a good girl, I'm going to give you a break. I want you to carry my books to school tomorrow. You heard me. Wait outside so I won't have to ring your bell, see? What if it is cold? It'll do you good. So long, baby.
Is See you later, fellas.
Yeah. Mr. Dither,
what kind of fatherly advice was that?
I guess Alexander ought to be back home from school any minute now, huh?
Dagwood, I don't mind Alexander becoming an actor later, but first he's got to live like a normal growing boy. We've just got to get this stage-struck business out of his head.
It's almost impossible now.
Wait a minute. I think I've got it, Dagwood.
Blondie.
We'll do a little acting ourselves.
What do you mean, Blondie?
Well, when he comes home, you can play a hard-boiled character like Humphrey Bogart, or Alan Ladd, or Burt Lancaster.
Hey, I'd like that.
And I'll be a hard-boiled wife. Mm-hmm. We'll show him how much fun it is to have someone acting different parts at home all the time.
Well, can you do it, dear?
Well, I can try. Of course, I'm afraid it's going to be a traumatic experience for him, but it's all for the best.
Oh, Mother there! Oh, Father!
Wait, let him come in here.
Yeah, and then we'll let him have it.
Yeah. Oh, there you are, Dagwood.
Yeah, don't call me Dagwood, see? If you call me that again, it's going to be just too bad for you, Shorty.
Gee, what's the matter with Father and Mother?
How'd I know what's the matter with your old man? Now, look here, Alexander. We don't like the way you talk, see? You sound like a sissy, see?
Who doesn't like the way I talk? Me and Bummy here.
Yeah, another thing. None of that panty-waist talk or we'll fan your pants with a baseball bat, see?
Holy smoke! Hey, what's the matter? What's wrong?
And it's going to be just too bad for you if you threw your coat on the floor in the hallway. Hey, come on, let's go take a gander and see if he did it, Bummy.
Okay, baby.
I brought someone home with me.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Mr. Bummy.
Yeah. Who's this gorgeous dame here? Come here, you beautiful hunk of junk. Bite you on the neck.
You're right,
yeah.
Leave me. Get me out of here.
Oh, holy smoke. That was Miss Ellaby. Oh, my. What did I say, Bronnie?
Oh, Dagwood. Gee, you scared her out of the house.
Yeah. What will she think of us now?
Well, I don't know what to think of you myself. I just came home to tell you that I decided to give up acting.
Why didn't you tell us that before?
Well, you see, they're starting a special gym course in judo, and I can't act in the play and take the judo stuff, too.
Oh, well, that's a relief, Alexander.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's more like it, son. I like to have you learning a few self-defense tricks.
What sort of tricks are they teaching you, dear?
Well, here's one, Mom. I slip behind Pop like this, crouch down, grab his coattails and pull, like this.
Oh, that's how I think it is.
Now, words from the Ford Dealers of America. If it's a new truck you're looking for, your Ford dealer has big news for you. Ford truck prices have just been reduced. That's right, price reductions up to $80. These reductions are made possible by engineering advances and improved production methods. Ford trucks at these new reduced prices have all the extra value features that made Ford America's number one truck value. The industry's only choice of V8 or 6, the million-dollar cab, bonus-built construction. 21 smart advancements that give you more performance at less cost. Stop in at your Ford dealers today. See Ford trucks for 50 at the new reduced prices. Remember, Ford trucks cost less because Ford trucks last longer. Latest available registrations prove it. Listen to Blondie next week over many of these same ABC stations.
Yeah, we're a little late tonight, folks, so good night, everybody.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
There you go. There's $80 off the car. Nowadays, that'll buy you those shiny little things that go on your hubcaps, you know, the little screws that hold them in.
Stop talking about pasties, Dale. Yeah.
I'm so no. Oh God, now that'll burn it. That's gonna burn an image in my skull.
It was $50. $50, 1944 would equate to. Is that it?
It was 1950.
1950. All right.
Yeah.
1950.
All right,
here we go. Boink.
Get your
$618. $618.28. Then we're talking some serious.
That wouldn't even pay the tax.
I would think that would more than pay the tax.
Oh.
$618. Oh,
not for a new car.
That in 1950.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, 1950, it would buy probably a car and a spare car, you know?
Yeah. You put it in the trunk of the real. Yeah, you put it in the trunk of your real car.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
So, yeah, we had the Garculator ready. I was just plugging in numbers. Fog's paying check. Garculated. There you go.
We've been Garkified or something.
Yep.
Or something.
And hello, good old Bob, in there somewhere. Blah, blah.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, is it possible to learn anything at all from Blondie?
No.
No. No.
No.
It's too late. Erie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
When in doubt, don't watch Blondie. No, I don't know. I got nothing. I don't know.
It's a sitcom.
I
you
have,
can't learn a lesson off a sitcom.
Oh, you certainly
can. Unless it's a great
fully,
you most
I have
certainly
fully vetted
can.
Guy's morals of the stories for the other two, but not for this.
I learned many things from sitcoms, Dave. I beg to differ. I learned from sitcoms that you can build a car out of coconuts, a little pedal car. Yep.
Yeah,
what's
true.
The gas mileage
I
on that,
about that.
What's the gas mileage on that?
I've learned
I'm
that
curious.
Working in a shoe store is not good.
I worked in a shoe store. It was good. Wasn't bad.
Yeah, how long did you work there? How long did you work there?
Yeah.
Less than 2 years.
A lot
just
less?
You got out just in time, kid. You got out just in time.
I worked there long enough to find and marry my first wife. How about that?
Well, see?
There you go.
There you go. Her name was Peg, and then your life was over.
No. Man, if her name was Peg and she looked like that, I wouldn't be complaining at all. I never understood that.
It's because she's a wanker. I mean, that was her last
Peg
name.
Peg had it going on.
We're not for you
Peg
folks
had it going
in England.
On.
Hey,
for you
hey,
folks
hey.
In England, that means something different over here. Anyway.
I don't know.
Oh, man, CW
is
not going to call in tonight.
Yeah, this,
she will
this,
not call in tonight. I'm telling
tonight's
you.
Tonight's
show
right has now. Not been approved by yeah. CW.
Yeah. And over in the UK, Vienna sausage means something completely different than how
hey.
We use it here in the United States.
Hey.
Hey. Hey. Vienna sausage. Hey.
So if we're doing suspense last, I reckon that Theater 5 is
oh,
next.
Oh, yeah.
I would
yes,
reckon that.
Is.
I would reckon that.
It
unless
is.
We snuck another show in, yeah.
Did I do that right? I did. Okay, yeah.
You
all
did.
Right. Yeah.
You did.
Yeah. This
Dave and I had a long discussion.
Yeah?
Dave and I had a long discussion about Theater 5 today.
We did. But we'll talk about that in between, too, Gar. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something we had to do.
Did you give him the
something
note?
We had to do, Dale.
Dave, did you give him the
I
note?
I did not give him the
oh.
note. I thought okay. I thought we'd surprise him.
Okay. All right.
I hope it's vulgar. All right, this one's called The Understudy from Theater 5, originally broadcast way back in...
It has a second title. It's The Understudy or Hang 'em High. And it has an air date of September 17th, 1964.
Yeah, you take the rope here and you... Yeah, you loop it around this way.
Okay, here, I'll pull this end.
No, it slipped. Yeah. I guess this end of the rope should go around here.
Yeah.
I think the loop's too big.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Does anybody out there know how to tie a hangman's noose? I mean, for real?
Theater 5 presents The Understudy.
It off. You have no regard for people's feelings.
How about concern for my feelings? I wanted some music, the kind I dig to remember on my trip.
Your trip on a merry-go-round going nowhere? I'm tired of your pose.
It's no pose, I tell you. I mean, I've had it. I'm just too beat to go on living.
So you're going to hang yourself. A real rope and all, and an audience of one. Want me to kick the chair out from under you?
Aren't you even human? Have I married a monster?
Did you ever think maybe I've had it, too?
What did I ask for? A hand in friendship. A voice saying, I understand.
The world's a jungle for us both. Survive or die, that's the human condition.
Then, goodbye. What happened?
What happened? The rope didn't hold the knot open. It opened.
But how?
You couldn't even tie the rope right. Oh, my darling, I love you. I love you.
Then I love you. Oh, I love you. I'd rather live with you than die alone.
Then why don't we try it? Really try. I mean, really try. All the way.
I want to.
So do I. How about some of that music?
Well, what about the neighbors?
Oh, to heck with the neighbors.
Terrific. Take another bow. Okay, take down the curtain. Well, how'd we do, huh?
It's sensational, kiddies, absolutely.
Oh, we had a good house.
Good. Capacity standees, they all loved you.
Oh, go on, you say that every night.
It's been true every night since we opened 6 months ago. You got no complaint.
Now, I've got a complaint about that rope tonight.
Hmm?
There was a delay before the knot opened. You make sure that doesn't happen again.
Paul's eyes practically popped when he fell, poor darling.
Well, I can't line it with cotton wool. A rope is a rope. It's supposed to look like a rope.
Well, I thought it would never open tonight.
Well, but it opened, didn't it?
Well, all it needs is for it not to open. Just one.
I guarantee you that'll never happen. I test it personally before every performance, so set your mind at rest.
Yes, but tell that to his neck.
Well, you think it's fun getting hanged every night? Practically hanged.
No, but think of what it's doing for your career.
Well, yeah, off-Broadway theater, 200 feet out.
You had 3 flops in a row, darling, and it didn't do a thing for you. You've got a hit off-Broadway, and you're back in stride. So don't knock it, Paul.
Any time you get tired of getting hanged, Paul, I'll be glad to pinch hit. It's what I'm here for, remember?
Well, thanks, Carl. I'll keep it in mind. You watch the performance tonight?
Oh, of course. I watch it every night from the wings.
And how was my performance?
Well, how can I say it? The epitome of artistry. Sheer magnificence. A privilege to watch you.
Well, that coming from one's understudy is praise indeed.
You doubt me? I tell you, your performance is an electrifying experience. It's a oneness with a true creative spirit.
Oh, no.
Your acting on the stage is ecstatic. It's beatific.
Well, your acting off stage isn't bad either.
Oh, I'm sincere. Believe me. Believe me.
I believe you. Only simmer down, boy. You'll last long.
Oh, what does it matter how long a man lives as long as he realizes the true essence of life? To be on the stage, to be acting, that is being truly alive.
Oh, now.
Oh, what I wouldn't give to play the part. I mean it. Just once.
You're getting on that kick again.
Just once, Paul. Give me that chance. You've never missed a single performance, not one.
Now,
look, what's the harm if the star comes down with laryngitis or sprains an ankle or something?
I guess I'm the hale and hearty type, Carl.
Now, don't laugh at me. See, I can't stand to be laughed at.
I'm older than you. I was in 3 flops in a row. And you know what that means in show business. You're dead. You lie down and you let them bury you. Only they didn't bury me. I came back to life with this show, and as long as I'm alive, I'm staying with it.
But at least you're an actor. You've always acted.
Oh,
me,
now,
I'm an understudy. You have any idea what it feels like standing there in the wings night after night, hoping and praying for the chance that never comes?
Well, of course,
knowing that I could be, well, yes, a star, if I had that chance.
Yeah, a star, huh? No long years of training, learning the craft, struggling, just one performance and zoom, you're there.
Yes.
Oh, that's fine if you can get it. Yeah, if you feel that way, you... Well, why did you bother to understudy in the first place?
I needed a job.
Yeah, and so did I.
Oh, look, I'm sorry, Paul. I didn't mean to get carried away.
If anything happens to keep me from going on, believe me, I'll be rooting for you. But as long as I can go on, I will go on. Now, excuse me, will you? I want to get out of this makeup.
Oh, sure.
Good night, Carl.
Good night, Paul.
I couldn't help hearing, Paul.
Oh, boy, he's eager to be an actor, that's all. You can't blame him, I suppose.
No, but there's more, almost an obsession. His eyes, when he talks about it, they're wild.
I'd almost say he's hopped up or something. He's a real kook. Those kind can be dangerous.
Oh, maybe to themselves. I think you exaggerate. He's just young, that's all, an amateur who's stage struck.
Hmm.
Now, look, you get out of your stage, Dudge, and I'll take you to supper.
The normal life of theater people, supper at midnight.
Listen, if we were normal, would we be in theater in the first place?
Hold it, kiddies, don't leave.
Huh? What now?
We got a surprise tonight. You're all invited to a party. The whole cast, that is.
Oh, who's giving a party?
The producer himself, Mr. Wendell, that's who.
You mean another backstage pep talk with sandwiches and coffee brought in?
No, not backstage.
Oh, you mean at his apartment?
Hey.
I've always wanted to see his place. They say it's stacked to the rafters with art. He's a collector.
No, it's at the espresso shop on the corner. He wanted it to be convenient. He didn't want to take you out of your way.
Well, isn't that considerate of him?
Well, that's the way it is. Uptown, it's cocktails at the green room, and here, it's coffee at the espresso shop.
What do you have?
Oh, can you bring me a cup of ordinary coffee?
Man, this is an espresso place. You want ordinary coffee, try the luncheonette down the block.
Oh, that's what I like about this neighborhood. Nobody has inhibitions, not even waiters. I'll have ordinary coffee with cream and sugar, please.
Okay. I'll see if I got it.
How you getting on, kiddies?
Well, backstage, we at least got sandwiches and coffee. Here, we're still waiting for the coffee.
Believe me, when you hear the news, the coffee will be like champagne.
Well, that should be an interesting experience. Let's hear the news.
Oh, you think I want to steal Mr. Wendell's thunder? The announcement will come from him.
Uh-oh. An announcement? And by the producer himself, it must be important.
Shh. Mr. Wendell's getting to his feet.
With his weight, that takes a bit of
quiet, everybody, please. Quiet. Mr. Wendell has a word to say.
Thank you. You all look like you're waiting for a miracle. Well, let me see. If it is a miracle, you people made it happen. I don't have to tell you about the show. You've been living with it for half a year. Of course, I've been living with it for a lot longer. I first read the script over a year ago, and I said to myself, I'm going to produce this show. I had faith.
Faith it would make him money.
Of course, what with costs and all, it wasn't easy raising the money. That took a lot of doing.
Sure, he had to write a check.
And when we opened, you all agreed to work for scale to keep the show running. Well, I don't have to tell you, we've been sold out every night.
Right.
I guess you know that as well as me.
His bank book knows it best.
You've all been troopers, boys and girls, and it's paid off. We've made it 6 months downtown. Who knows how long uptown?
Well, uptown?
Uptown, Broadway. Yes, from Bleecker Street to 46th Street. From a 200-seat house to a theater seating 1,500. Now, geographically, only a couple of miles. But a mighty long journey.
Oh, congratulations, Paul. Congratulations, Ellen.
Thank you,
Carl.
I mean, it's the break you deserve.
Oh, it's the break for you, too, boy.
Oh, I don't know. I never played the part downtown. All it means is that I'll never play it uptown.
Oh, who knows, Carl? Remember what you said? Laryngitis, a sprained ankle. They can happen.
One lives in hope, huh?
Well, that's the idea.
Hold it, boys and girls. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, there's more.
Well, what more can there be?
Just this. Uptown, we're going to have a fuller schedule. Special matinee and Sunday performances.
Oh, you mean we'll be doing a dozen performances a week?
No, no. As a matter of fact, you'll be able to breathe easier. Because we're going to have two sets of leads. That means Paul and Ellen will be doing the evening performances only, and the others will handle the matinees and Sundays. Of course, you'll get top billing. Now, what do you say to that?
Well, I say great.
Paul, did you hear that?
What?
There'll be two leads, too. That means I'll be playing the part, too. Oh, how can I ever thank you for all you've done?
For all I've done? Why, don't you think you ought to talk to the producer, find out if
Oh, yes, yes, of course. Mr. Wendell, I don't know how to thank you for this opportunity except to say you'll never regret it. You'll be proud of me. You'll all be proud of me.
What are you talking about?
Well, my playing the part, I mean, uptown on Broadway.
Who said anything about
two sets of leads, you said. Well, who has a better right to play it but I? I've watched it night after night. I've studied it. I...
Let go of my arm, will you? You're hurting me.
Oh, forgive me. Forgive me. I'm sorry. It's just that this means so much to me. You don't know how much.
Sure. Well, we'll see. It's a big thing from understudy to lead. You have to understand, of course, taking the show uptown is a big risk financially. We've got to pack them in every night or we close.
We need names on Broadway.
But I'll be a name, I tell you. Just one performance and I'll be a name. It's bound to happen. It must happen.
Well, I can't make any promises, but I'll think about it, okay? I'll keep it in mind.
Oh, thank you. I'll give a performance you'll remember. You'll all remember. Oh, I need air. I feel confined here. My spirit is soaring. I have to walk through the streets. Exult!
How did we ever get hooked up with him? Star part. It's a good thing we're closing soon, or I'd bounce him right now. He gives me the willies.
He might hear you.
Well, didn't he leave? I thought he left.
Well, he has now, but he was standing at the door.
Well, I don't care if he heard or not. I don't want him in my show.
Oh, that's rough. The kid takes a tumble.
Yeah, we do have to warn you, Dale, that you know, unfortunately, this did not have closing theme, so we had to attach on a theme from another show to close it up.
Yes.
No worries. We'll enjoy that.
It'll be an Erie House original.
Ooh. That's there's a fight.
Not that original.
Not that original. No, no, no.
Not that original. No, no, no.
The story finishes. The story finishes, but it just cuts off right there. I mean, you can't have it without closing credits. So, you know,
right.
We had to put them. We had to borrow it from another show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And because this will become an archive, I can't think production. It will forever be an Erie House original. There we go.
Yes, yeah.
I'm terrified.
So this kid is...
I'm absolutely terrified.
It only gets better,
as you
Dale.
Should be.
It only gets better.
As you should be. As you should be.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
Waking in my boots.
Yeah, well, you know, we had National Pasty Day, blah, 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 and now we've got this. What are we going to do?
It's getting good.
So this kid is getting basically routed for his enthusiasms.
Yes.
Well, he does sound a little creepy here. He does sound a little creepy.
Yeah, I
was
agree.
Run into the street.
In all of the 9,728 jobs I've had, I've never been pushed down for being overly enthusiastic about a work ethic.
That's good.
The goat can scream now.
Okay. The goat can scream now.
There you go.
Very satisfying.
That goat wasn't over-enthusiastic, was it?
He was fine.
No, he just, he was in the right mood.
Yeah, there you go.
Right mood, right mood, right mod.
Yep. But see, okay, so
hoot man, hoot.
As you guys know, I draw, paint, sculpt, draw cartoons, this, that, and the other, and I don't mind likening myself to the word artist. I don't have a problem with that. But there's artists, and then there's different kinds of artists, you know. And I like nature. I'm not going to go hug a tree, but you know. enthusiasms and craziness, there's a difference, right?
Yeah. When you hit that, cross that line into obsessive, then that's where the fun begins.
Yeah.
And that's where this guy is.
Don't start talking about Batman.
I think.
Right. Don't start talking about Batman around me, because I will become obsessive. Because who doesn't like Batman, boy, boy.
Yeah. And he certainly doesn't lack for confidence.
Who, Batman?
No.
Batman never.
This kid.
Well, yeah, he thinks quite a bit of himself, for sure.
He does, yeah. He does.
Any guy that runs around in his long underwear, jumping off ropes onto ropes, no problem with confidence there.
Yep. That's where you grease the ropes.
Always.
See what happens.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, I know. He never missed the rope that I know about.
Yeah. Oh, the outtakes must be wonderful. They're probably a real treat.
See, I fell for it. I went ahead. I fell for it. They had this scene where they're climbing up the side of a building and out pops Lurch or Danny Thomas or Sammy Davis Jr.
Somebody, yeah. Somebody always.
Yeah. And I bit into it. I was like, oh, this is so cool. They're climbing up a building. Look at these people. Only to find out later it was filmed horizontally.
Yeah. Sideways.
Like,
sideways.
They got me.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's going to get you? The last part of the understudy from Theater 5. Let's wrap this thing up. And we'll be back for more fun. Oh, didn't we have some facts? That's right. We had a few facts.
No, that was... No. We were warning you. That was the warning.
Yeah, we warn you.
Yeah.
All right. Wow.
No facts here. Only warning. Only warning, yeah.
Only a
like
warning.
An old Band-Aid. Let it rip.
Ouch. All right. We're going to wrap up understudy. I'm going to hide.
Who's that?
Oh, it's me, Carl.
What are you doing in the theater so early in the afternoon?
Oh.
Go on up on the stage. Keep me company. How come you're in so early? Performance is still 3 hours away.
Might as well be 1,000 hours. I just stand in the wings anyway, just go through the motions. Shadow boxing.
Well, what about this uptown business? Aren't you playing the lead?
Don't laugh at me. I can't stand to be laughed at. I know I'm not getting the part. I overheard Mr. Wendell, the way he feels about me. I'm through.
Well, the show must go on, Carl. If it isn't now, it'll be another time for you.
It was a real part, the kind actors give their eye teeth to have. Kind that comes along once in a lifetime.
Well, even if that's so, what can you do? It's the breaks. You have to take what you can get in life.
Yeah, that's right. You have to take what you can get. You come in this early all the time?
Sure, I have to set up the scene. And this is the most important part of it.
You mean this? The rope?
Yeah. Hey, don't touch. You'll spoil my rope trick.
Oh, I'm sorry. How do you do it?
What are you trying to do? Buck for my job? It takes talent to tie a rope this way.
Oh, yeah?
The whole secret is here, right here. If I tie it this way, it holds. Really would hang the Joker.
Oh.
But now, watch this way. It looks solid, but even a light pressure, there, it opens.
Oh.
That's the whole deal. But you gotta know how.
Oh, yeah, that takes talent, all right.
Well, everything's set up for the night. Come on, let's get out of here. I'm thirsty. How about going to Nick's bar? I'll buy you a drink.
Oh, sure, thanks. But you go ahead and set it up for me. I'll be along in a few minutes.
Okay.
I want to stand here a minute, sort of store up memories for the might have been.
All right, but don't be long. I'll see you at Nick's.
Yeah, I'll be there in a minute. Hello? Hello, invisible audience. Audience I never played to. Hello? Oh, what am I thinking of? I must be mad to think of it. But if it succeeds, then what am I waiting for? It's my chance, my only chance. It's my last chance. If I don't, I'm through. I'm through. So what am I waiting for? Thus conscience doth make cowards of us all. And thus the native hue of resolution is sicklied o'er with a pale cast of thought. And enterprises of great pitch and moment with these regards their currents turn awry and lose the name of action. Oh Lord, now I'm Hamlet. Oh, move. Move, you fool. You'll never get another chance. The show closes tomorrow. Paul plays tonight. It will be his last night. What about Paul? He's treated me decently. No, he hasn't. He's only pretended to. Inside, he was laughing at me. He was laughing at me. They were all laughing at me. I'll show them. I'll show them all. I'll show them what an actor can do. Yes, the show must go on. Paul plays tonight, but tomorrow night, the show will go on with me. To snatch victory out of defeat, yes. You have to take what you'll get out of life. Yeah, the rope, the knot. How did he tie? way? Yes, this way. It holds. It holds. Get out of here, you fool. It's done. It's done. No regrets. And what do you want? A life in the shadows or stardom? Go now. Go!
Hey, Carl. I thought you were never coming. You've been running. You look all winded. Have your drink. It's been waiting for you.
Yes. My...
Hey, Nick, set up another round, will you? I mean, for my friend and me.
No, okay. Not for me. I had my limit. I have to work tonight, and so do you. It's 7:30 already. You come back to the theater?
Listen, the kind of work I do there, I can do here as well. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing.
You're still supposed to be backstage. You know that.
The show closes tomorrow night anyway, so what's the difference at this point?
I suppose so. As long as I know where you are.
I'll be here. Hey, Nick.
Yeah.
How about set a drink, huh?
Coming right up.
Thanks. What time is it now, huh?
8:30.
Oh, how about that? Curtain going up. Going up without me. Going up without me for 6 months, but not anymore. No, sir, not anymore.
No, I hear the show is closing tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's right. You see, Paul plays the part his way. Look, he's pretty good. I mean, make no mistake about that, but I'd play it differently. You know, in the closing scene, the hanging scene?
Well, I haven't seen the play.
Oh, you haven't, huh? Well, how about that? Well, in this closing scene, see, the hanging scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays it for sympathy, see, but in kind of broad strokes. Now, what I would do, I would stress the irony, you know? A guy who's ready to hang himself, see, but still he shows his contempt for the dame, even though he's in love with her. That's more subtle.
You know, it sounds like you're giving a lot of thought.
Oh, I've had time. I've had time to give it thought, but the time comes when you have to stop thinking and act.
Good luck to you.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, a man has to make his own luck.
Carl, I'm glad you're still here.
Huh? Well, where did you think I'd be?
Hold on, boy. Now, hold on. Brace yourself.
What? What are you...
It's come. It's your chance to play the part. You're on in 10 minutes. Now, the curtain's ready to go up.
What are you talking about?
Paul didn't show for tonight's performance. He called just a minute ago to say he's got a case of laryngitis. No kidding. He can't go on tonight.
What do you mean he can't go on tonight? He must go on tonight. Tomorrow. I'll play it tomorrow night.
Have you lost your mind or something? Who's talking about tomorrow night? It's tonight you have to go on.
I can't.
Look. You've been tearing your guts out for a chance to play the part.
I know.
A once-in-a-lifetime chance, you said. Now what are you doing? What are you doing? You're throwing it away?
No, I can't.
You realize if you blow this one, if you blow it, you're through. Not just here, but in any play, on any stage, as an actor. The show must go on, Carl.
Yeah, if I don't play it, I'm through as an actor. And life would have no meaning.
Come on, there's time to make the curtain. Come on.
What does it matter how long a man lives, huh? Just as long as he realizes the essence of life.
What? Come on, we don't have much time.
We'll give a performance. A performance they'll remember. Oh, they'll remember.
Let's go, Carl. The show must go on.
Yes, the show must go on. Let's go.
This is a feature of the Lone Ranger Incorporated, created and produced by George W. Trendle and directed by Charles D. Livingston. Tonight's story was written by Fran Stryker. The part of the Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer.
Okay.
It was the only other closing. The only other closing I could find was Fred Foy. So
I am confused and pleasantly so.
There you go.
There's really, really only one way to follow that up. Yeah. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Scar's Moral of the Story.
The problem with being hoisted by your own petard is trying to figure out what a petard is.
Yeah! Oh, that sounded painful. He needs fiber. That guy needs fiber.
He does. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or less fiber, one or the other.
Yeah.
Or less fiber. Yeah.
It's either too much or
either
too
way.
Little, but it's a fiber problem, to be
it's
sure.
It's a fiber issue. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So another going back real quick to Arthur Lake, who we were talking about earlier. The only movie I found of note that he was in that I could see, at least in my brief search, was the movie the 1937 Topper. He was the elevator boy / bellhop.
Oh wow! And the Blondie series started what in 1938? The next year.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. The series of movies. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One in 38, and then 1, 2, 3 of them in 39, 3 of them in 40, 2 of them in 41, 1, 2, 3, 4 of them in 42. The war always does good for Blondie. 2 of them in 43, 3 of them in 44. No, those were not Blondie movies. Excuse me. 44 and 45. No Blondie in 44.
Okay.
45, there's a bunch. Two of them. Or a couple in 46, four of them in 47, 2, 3 in 48, 2 in 49, 2 in 50, and done with the movies. Radio ran from what, 46 to 49, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And a TV show later in the 50s. There's no escape.
Okay.
And Arthur Lake did all those TV shows too, yeah. He did.
Yeah, 44 to 1949, according to some sources.
That's right. And one more.
Be careful with the sources. Yep.
One more actor story. Mm-hmm. And it's from Suspense.
Mm-hmm.
Suspense.
Mm-hmm.
Starring who?
Mm-hmm.
Milton.
Uncle Milton.
Milton Boyle.
Uncle
Milton. Uncle Milton.
Boyle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one's entitled Rave Notice.
I wonder what that's all about.
I don't know, but I can picture Milton Berle playing like a sinister guy, much like Jerry Lewis did in that movie where he was kidnapped. He kind of played himself.
Oh yeah, yeah, the King of Comedy,
King of Comedy.
Yeah,
De Niro, yeah.
Yeah.
See, with Milton Berle, again, to reference the 1966 Batman, Louis the Lilac, yes, a bad guy, but comedically. But, yeah, we're going to see a different vein here.
Yes, and maybe we'll open up a vein or two.
Mm-hmm.
Rave Notice from Suspense, originally broadcast.
October 12th, 1950.
So they say.
Yep.
Autolite and its 96,000 dealers present Tonight, Autolite brings you Rave Notice, a suspense play starring Mr. Milton Berle.
Ring out. You hymn of hate, ring out. Send word that all who listen...
No.
Now what?
You're supposed to be an actor, not a foghorn.
Yes, sir.
By what standards do you consider yourself to be an actor?
You're persecuting me.
I persecute nobody. If a man cannot play a role, he's replaced.
Replaced? There goes that persecution talk again. Replace me and I'll kill you.
Witnesses, he's threatening me.
Then don't talk of replacement. I'm not kidding, Norman. Replace me and I'll kill you.
In just a moment, Mr. Milton Berle in the first act of Rave Notice.
Hey, Wilcox. Ah, say, Wilcox.
I hear you're a campaign manager.
You bet, Senator, and my candidate's a cinch to win.
What's his name?
You're kidding, aren't you, Senator? He's the famous Autolite Stay Full Battery. My candidate is so well known that every valiant voter vaunts his valor and veracity.
What's his platform?
Why, the famous Autolite Stay Full Battery needs water only 3 times a year in normal car use, Senator. And he's running on a platform to give longer life. 70% longer life, in fact. As proved by tests conducted according to the Society of Automotive Engineers' minimum life cycle standards. And that's really an endorsement.
Is your candidate prepared for a long cycle in office, Wilcox?
He sure is, Senator, because every positive plate of the Autolite Stay Full Battery is protected with a fiberglass retaining mat to help reduce flaking and shedding. So, friends, join the crowd voting for the Autolite Stay Full Battery, the battery that needs water only 3 times a year in normal car use. See your neighborhood Autolite battery dealer. And remember, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, with rave notice and the performance of Mr. Milton Berle, Autolite hopes once again to keep you in suspense.
Look, when I'm walking across Times Square like this, I'm just an ordinary man, plain, unnoticeable. I watch the crowd. You wouldn't even notice me. It's as though I were invisible. Yeah, like that. Invisible. But wait, come here. Come with me through this door, through here, and into the darkness. Now. I breathe deeply of the thick, dark air, and I become taller. My eyes drink in the gloomy shadows, become lustrous, bird-like, noble. Here in this temple of the passions, I throw off my cloak of invisibility and I reveal myself, my true self. For this is the theater and I am an actor. Down there beyond the empty seats lit by the single bare bulb are my fellow actors, and we're all here to make a play. Friend Norman, seated alone in the third row, is our director. This is the fifth day of the rehearsal. Still rather rough, stiffish, and so forth, but it's not a bad little play, and you know Norman. Norman will manage somehow to spoil it. Norman will misdirect actors and lose values, and I've known Norman for years, from the group theater. We were in the group together.
Oh, no, 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 no.
But Norman, why not?
Because I'm the director, and I say no, no.
Very well.
Try again.
I wish somebody would tell me what it's all about. Life, I mean. I wish somebody would give me the word.
Adequate.
Thank you.
Norman.
Oh, hello there.
How are we coming?
Come over here. I want to talk to you.
Sure, Norman. Sure. What is it?
This is, well, believe me, Sam, the most difficult thing I've ever had to say.
Speak out, Norman. You know me.
Well, I've had to turn over the bell ringer to Luther.
The bell ringer? Well, what do you mean? Norman, that's my part, the bell ringer. What do you mean, to Luther?
Don't make it difficult for me, Sam.
Difficult? I'm not making it difficult. Not at all. The bell ringer role is mine. Norman, that's all. There's no difficulty involved.
Please.
You joke.
No. It's not as if I hadn't warned.
Well, tell me what's wrong. Tell me where I've stepped off. What irritates you? What doesn't fit? And I'll fix it. I'll fix it. That's my role, Norman. I carry the whole cast with that role.
Don't shout, Sam. You're making a fool of yourself.
A fool? Norman, why are you doing this to me?
Because you're not right for it.
Not right?
Yes.
Wait. You fat pig, what do you know?
No, easy.
What do you know? What do you know about acting?
Easy there. Easy, I say. Easy.
Fat. Fat belly, fat head, fat face.
That's enough.
You know nothing.
I know you. I know actors. You're no actor. You stink.
I'll kill you for saying that. I'll kill you.
Witnesses! He's threatening me again.
Yes, listen good, Norman. I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to kill you. Oh, you see, you can't even deliver that line. You stink.
Yes, sir?
I want to buy a gun.
Yes, sir. What sort of a gun did you wish to buy?
One that will shoot through fat.
Sir?
Oh, pardon me. I'm sorry. I was thinking. What have you got?
Why, pistols, rifles, shotguns?
Well, I don't know exactly.
What was it you wished to use the gun for?
I want to kill a rat.
Hmm. Well, a 22 would be about your best bet. Oh, here's a nice little item.
Looks pretty small. This is an awfully big rat. Fat rat.
Hmm. Oh, I take a shotgun. A 410. Yeah. Yeah.
You think that'll do it?
Oh, mister, that gun will. I guarantee. I use a gun like that myself. Single barrel, light, handy, truly beautiful weapon.
Bullets. You got bullets?
Or shells. Shells are used in this weapon. Now, they're all kinds, depending on what weight shot you want to use.
You choose it. I want one.
One box?
No. One bullet.
One?
Yeah. This rat, I'm not going to miss. It's time now. He'll come out of that far door of the entrance, and he'll walk this way because he's going to go into Sardi's for a drink. I slide it out from under my coat, and I smile, and I say, "Goodbye, Norman." Pull the trigger. Heart or belly? Heart or belly? Belly, yes. In the belly. His cultivated paunch. Fatted with actor's hearts. Yes, belly. Am I invisible now? I mustn't be noticed until the moment. Perhaps standing a little too tall. Sag. Perfect. The actor plays himself as a non-actor. You should see this, Norman. Now. Goodbye, Norman.
Sam! No! I'm shot.
Oh, Norman, you're dying. You're going to go to hell in a minute, Norman.
I'm shot. Please, somebody call an ambulance.
Won't do you any good, Norman. You're dying. You'll be dead before it gets here.
Oh, it hurts.
Is this how you play your death theme? Norman, you're dying. Play it.
Please, somebody call an ambulance for me. Don't let me lie here.
Oh, if an actor played a death scene for you as badly as you're playing your own, Norman, do you know what you'd do?
Ambulance! Help, please! Ambulance!
With a shotgun, he did it. Right in the middle of 45th Street.
Oh.
They brought him in an hour ago.
Give you any trouble?
Like a lamb.
Hello.
Oh, I thought you'd like to know. That guy, he's still kicking.
Alive? He's alive?
Yep. So you're not a murderer. Not yet. I brought your lawyer.
What's that?
I'm your lawyer.
How do you do?
Huh?
Sit down, won't you?
Thank you.
They say he's still not dead.
No, but he's sinking.
How much longer?
They didn't say.
When he dies, I become a murderer.
Yes.
They'll electrocute me.
Yes?
Oh, must have been crazy.
I thought of that.
What do you mean?
Temporary insanity. I thought we might plead that.
Well, why don't we?
Because you threatened him before witnesses at least twice. Went to a store, chose a gun with great care. Waited for him to appear, you did all this, and then you shot him.
That's right, I did.
That's premeditated murder, first-degree murder.
So the temporary insanity thing is out?
Way out. The only other thing I can think of is we could prove you were insane all along.
Me? Insane?
But of course not.
I should say not. What? Wait a minute. What would happen, I mean, if I were?
Oh, they'd get the psychiatrists in, examine you, send you off to be cured.
Yeah?
You seem very calm.
I'm an actor. He's gone, and I sit here seeming very calm. From time to time, the god passes, looks at me curiously. I know it's on his mind. He's saying this, it's a cold-blooded murderer. I know. All my life, I've studied the human beings, memorized their gestures, tones, expressions, inflections, emotions. I've learned to probe every moment of my own experience from early childhood, searched out my every reaction, emotion, learned to feel the parallel emotions of others. The Stanislavski method of acting. I have it. Know it.
Of course, if we could prove you were insane all along,
But I'm not. The insane man moves without motive, and I had a motive.
I know you. I know actors. You're no actor.
Ooh, I could do it again.
No actor. No actor. No actor.
I could do it again. Insane, crazy, nuts. I know a joke.
I know a joke. A wonderful joke.
I'm going to beat Norman even in his grave. I'm going to have myself exonerated of his murder. Yes, freed of the charges. It's so simple. I can hear it.
Not guilty by reason of insanity.
I'm going to play the greatest role of my life. Play it without makeup, without lights, without script or cue. I'm going to play a part strangely foreign to my nature. I'm going to play a homicidal maniac.
Autolite is bringing you Mr. Milton Berle in Rave Notice, tonight's production in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Wilcox, what's this? A campaign slogan for your candidate?
Righto, Senator. The Autolite Stay Full battery is the battery that needs water only three times a year in normal car use. That's my candidate's simple, sound, and superior slogan.
Seems pretty dry to me, Wilcox.
Why, my droll dignitary, let me tell you about my candidate's characteristics. He has fiberglass retaining mats protecting every positive plate to help reduce flaking and shedding. And, Senator, everybody votes for Autolite Stay Full batteries because you can't buy a better battery for your car.
What's the opposition, Wilcox?
No opposition, Senator. Why, with a 70% longer life, as proved by tests conducted according to SAE minimum life cycle standards, who would even think of opposing an Autolite Stay Full battery?
He's in, Wilcox. What did you say he was running for?
For the wonderful dealers from coast to coast who sell Autolite Stay Full batteries to the masterminded motorists who drive their cars to perfection with Autolite Stay Full batteries. The battery that needs water only three times a year in normal car use. Better see your Autolite dealer and get an Autolite battery at once, Senator.
Good idea, Wilcox.
And remember, Senator, you're always right with Autolite.
That's right. Water your batteries right now. We'll wait.
I remember my dad used to, he has to pull off the cap to check to make sure he had water in the batteries. And
yep.
Because you could get dead cells if you let the water dissipate too much.
Yes.
And your battery wasn't working on full power.
Yeah. That was my job Saturday morning. Run out and pull all the caps off the cars, make sure they still have plenty of water.
Yep. Did you put the caps back on?
No, I wanted to get out of doing it. The trick to getting out of doing stuff is doing it wrong all the time. You must be consistent.
So what do you think, Uncle Milty here? What do you
I'm
think
a married
Uncle Milty
man.
Here?
How do you think I learned that? What?
What do you think of Uncle Milty here?
Uncle Milty's kind of a sinister bad guy. I like him.
Yeah.
So think about this. How much different this episode would be if John Lovitz was portraying the actor?
John Lovitz.
I was acting. Yeah, that guy.
If you say so.
Yeah,
or
I
what
love
if,
that.
What if Count Floyd were doing this scene, right?
Now, Count Floyd, Count Floyd could do it.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my.
I'm buying into Count Floyd.
Will buy into Count Floyd, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd pay to see that.
He's kind of a can't miss, yeah. You know?
Yep.
I'd pay a dollar to see that. Definitely.
That and another $3 gets you a cup of coffee, right?
Yeah.
Now,
that one episode where he did, all right, boys and girls, here's the movie. Oh, we don't have the movie. Let me describe the movie to you. It's so scary.
Like, that's right.
It was, buddy.
Make you wash your pants there. Oh, kids.
Yeah.
Oh.
So scary. Ooh. And then, Yeah.
Good old, gotta love Count Floyd. He's our boy.
Yep. I think there's a, I might have a Count Floyd Christmas special excerpt this week. I can't remember if there is one that exists or not. But if there is, I'll grab it.
Anybody will do it. Gar will do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, Gar's doing
yeah,
we had some... I mean, wait a second.
Hello.
I don't think I came out right.
No.
You don't want to say the wrong things on National Pastry Day.
No.
Pastry Day, yeah.
Because then you won't get your pasties. Yeah.
And who wants to hear about that?
Catch you with your pasties done. Not careful.
Yeah.
Jesus. Alrighty. Why don't we wrap up? Rain Notice with Milton Boyle from Suspense.
Sure.
And now Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. Milton Berle in Elliot Lewis's production of Rave Notice, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
I'm going to play a homicidal maniac. How? What is the most terrible thing I ever did? The thing closest to murder. I must recreate that mood. Murder. Killing. Blood. I killed a cat once. Yeah. I was 6 years old. I didn't mean to kill it, but I had this stick. It was in an alley, this cat, and I poked it just for laughs. He didn't run. That's all I wanted to do was just to make him run. Oh, he scratched me, and I hit him. I hit him across the back with a stick, and he started this howling and squalling, and I thought I'm going to get into trouble. Stop that noise. Stop that noise. And I hit him again to make him stop, and again to make him stop, and again. And there was blood. Red blood on the gray cement, and struck and struck and struck out the screams. Struck out the life. Struck out the awful gaze of those great yellow eyes. Struck out the life. Struck out the spirit and the spark. I kill. A murderer I am. I kill for the thrill of silence of the cat. I am a murderer. A murderer I am. I kill without reason. That's it. That's it. That's the character. All I need for turning it on is the memory. Those key points. Gray cement, cat's eyes, my feelings as a six-year-old. Oh, there will be refinements. I'll refine it. Oh, Norman, if you were only here to see this scene. If you were only here. Dim the house lights. Raise the curtain. Now to get my audience in.
What's that?
Sounds like the shotgun guy.
He's laughing.
We better go see what's up.
Hey, you!
Who may I ask, are you?
What?
Who are you?
Oh, come on now, Mac, calm down.
I asked a civil question and I expect a civil answer. Who are you?
He was so nice and quiet for a while there.
Yeah, hey. Just answer my question. That's all I ask, and that's not much reward for a hero to be asking now, is it?
Don't you know who we are?
I think he's putting on an act.
Hey, don't turn your head away. We know you hear us.
Not. Leave him be.
You think he's kidding?
What does it matter?
Oh, that was lousy. You can do better than that, Sam. You're supposed to be a murderer. A homicidal maniac. So what's the emotion? Guilt. Guilt. You've got to be guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Smear yourself with the stuff. Guilty. Bloody hands, that's you. Guilty, and you want to be punished. Yeah, punished. Punish yourself. That'll do it. But a little hurt. So what?
So what?
Not like it hurts when they shave your head and slit your trousers and strap you to your seat. Oh, that seat. 10,000 volts coursing through this poor player's frail body with which I am cursed. Murderer. Guilty. Guilty. Should be punished. 1,
two, three, curtain going up.
Guilty. Guilty. There's blood
there
on my
hands. There he goes again.
Hugo.
Ah, what a job.
I smashed him on the grave. I smashed him. Murder, murder. I murdered him. I am a murderer. I'm a murderer, and I confess it. I confess I'm a murderer.
Hey, hey.
I want to confess it.
You don't have to do that.
To confess, to purge myself of this guilt.
But you did all that when you first come in here.
I am a murderer. I am guilty here. I smashed him. I smashed
him. What are you getting yourself so worked up about? That guy isn't even dead yet.
Not dead. He is dead. He's been dead these past 36 years. 36 years. Oh, oh, if you won't punish me, I... Oh.
Hey, hey, what are you doing?
Hey. I am guilty. I'm guilty, and I shall be smashed as he was smashed.
Your hand, you're going to bust your hand in that wall, lad.
I shall be smashed. It is written. You know the writing in the blood that lies across the counterpane in the bed under the pillow when little boys are supposed to be far away in slumberland.
Jolt! Get the doctor!
Good, good. He's getting a doctor. My hand is killing me. Seems that something broke. Then I don't mind the bloody scraped knuckles or even breaking the nails, but not the bones. Oof. I want to be sure I can use this darn thing when I get out of here. When? If I ever get out of here. Two cats dead, murdered by my stick. Four cats dead, murdered by my stick.
Oh.
Right here, Doc. I'll open the cell if you want to go in.
Of course I do. How long has he been doing this?
Well, about 15 minutes, Doctor, since just before he sent Schultz after you.
I see. All right, now. You can stop that.
I don't stop. I don't look. I keep right at it. I keep in the pot. Murderer. Guilty. It hurts, but if I keep at it, I'm paying a price. I am paying my way out of being electrocuted. I'm going to be freed. I can only keep it up.
Now stop
keep it.
It
up.
That's you aren't doing yourself do. Real good this
keep
way, man.
It
now
up.
Put it out. All right, grab it.
Leave me.
Leave me alone. I want to pay. I am the guilty one, and I want to pay the sentence to the court.
Hold him in. Come on.
Now, let me go. Let me go. I must pay. I must pay.
Now, steady. Steady, man.
Hypodermic needle. Oh, he's pressing the syringe. It'll knock me out. I can't act. I'm unconscious.
All right. Come on.
I can't act. I can't play the part. I'm guilty. I can't. Quiet here. So white. Such sweet stillness and peace. Gone the darkness of the steel and concrete in the cell, this white ceiling. Well, they're watching me very carefully. The taller one. He's new. The other gave me the hypodermic. Yes. Hypodermic. How long have I been out? Did I say anything while I was out? Perhaps if I keep still, they'll let me know.
I must have been wrong. Are you awake?
You say he showed definite suicidal tendencies?
Suicidal immediate or simply self-destructive. While I was unconscious, I listened to him. He spoke. He seemed under the delusion that he is invisible.
Invisible? That's a new one.
Now, wait a minute. Look. He's opening his eyes.
Hello. Awake?
Who are you?
You remember me, don't you?
No.
I gave you something to quiet you a little while ago.
A little while ago?
You were trying to injure yourself, that we'd think you insane.
You've decided to give that up, haven't you?
If you'll only let me go, let me out of here. I have to carry out sentence, you know.
Well, how will you carry out sentence?
Be smashed. I am to be smashed as I have smashed the cat.
Is that the law?
An eye for an eye.
And a tooth for a tooth. You believe in that?
If you believe in the eye-for-eye law, don't you feel it's right that you receive the same thing you gave your victim?
Yes, I smashed him with a stick and the eyes that stared at me.
Stick? You mean shotgun, don't you?
Why would I say shotgun if I meant stick? I said stick.
But you shot the man with a shotgun.
You're out of your mind.
After you smashed him with a stick, what happened?
What?
What came after he was dead?
Oh, I was frightened. I went home. Mama was there. She said, how did you get... blood on your hands, and I said a dog licked my hand and he had blood on his teeth.
Understand you're an actor.
We are all actors. We try to act innocent when we are guilty.
Doctor, come outside a moment, will you?
I've got them. I've got them. Just keep playing it cold and clear. What are they talking about out there? Oh, I wish I knew. Doesn't matter. Don't matter. I have them. I know that. I've got them. I've got them.
Well, I guess you'll be leaving us soon.
That's what I asked for. Thank you. Thank you. You're understanding, Doctor. I am guilty, and I must carry out sentence. You know that.
What the doctor means is that you're going to a place where they'll help you to get well.
Get well? But I am well. I'm just guilty, that's all.
Of course. If you have the affidavit drawn up, I'll sign. You'll get a court order committing him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Means you were right all along. You know, I wasn't sure until you told me about the man who was shot, about his recovery.
Oh, yes. The guards told this man he'd recovered, but he didn't comprehend it, cause he went right on screaming and punishing him.
See. Well, let's go. What would they have given him were he sane?
Well, that depends. If the injured party refused to press charges, he'd be out of here in an hour. Free man.
Recovered? Recovered? They didn't tell me he'd recovered. How could he have recovered? I shot him. I shot him in his fat paunch, in his belly. When did they tell me? It was while I was screaming, maybe. I was really into the part then, deep in it. Couldn't have heard them. Couldn't have heard. And now he will walk out of here and I will go off to an insane asylum, married to a role that I loathe, that I hate. No. No.
Doctor, come back here. Come back here. Please, it was all a joke. Doctor, come back. Come back.
What is it?
Listen, doctor, listen. I have a confession to make, doctor. I'm not insane. Please believe me. Please believe me.
Of course you're not.
That's right.
Just a little confused, that's all.
Yes, yeah. Why, not even confused, don't you see? It was all a gag. It was just a gag.
Of course it was. Now you're going to a place where you can rest and everything's going to be all right.
Oh, no, believe me. Believe me, I am sane.
Why, so?
I'm not shouting. I only want to impress upon
but you
that...
You were shouting rather loudly.
Oh, look. I shot, and my lawyer said if I could prove insanity, I wouldn't go to the chair.
Chair? I thought you were to be, you said, mesh.
Forget that. That was part of the method.
Method?
You know, the Stanislavski method. It's a system of acting.
What do you think, Daddy?
Don't know.
Man, it seems to be telling you this.
Think so?
I can fool you all over again if you feel it's necessary to prove my point.
No, I don't believe you'll be able to fool me again.
Well, Doctor?
Sane. I say sane. I say the man is in full control of his faculties, is aware of his crime, committed it out of what society calls sober motive.
And you, sir, you agree with the doctor?
It's what I've been telling you.
And I say same. That makes it unanimous.
Oh, glad that's over. Wow. What a performance. Gentlemen, never in the history of the theater has such a performance been rendered, nor under such adverse conditions.
Just one more question.
Shoot.
Why did you kill him?
Kill him? But I didn't. I shot him, that's all. Shot. You mean shot, don't you? Well, don't you?
No.
The woman is dead?
You were sane. You're going to repay society with your life.
The woman is dead. Oh, treachery. Villainy. Bring down the curtain. Bring down the curtain.
Suspense, presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Milton Berle.
Well, Wilcox, did your candidate win?
Win, Senator? Why, the Autolite Stay Full Battery is the winningest candidate the polls have ever produced. And this winsome leader is only one of over 400 Autolite winners for cars, trucks, planes, and boats made by Autolite in 28 plants coast to coast. These include complete electrical systems used as original equipment on many makes of America's finest cars. Spark plugs, batteries, generators, coils, distributors, electric windshield wipers, starting motors, bullseye steel beam headlights. All engineered to fit together perfectly, work together perfectly, because they're a perfect team. So, friends, don't accept electrical parts supposed to be as good. Ask for and insist on Autolite, original factory parts, at your neighborhood service station, car dealer, garage, or repair shop. Remember, you're always right with Autolite. Next week on Suspense, Miss Barbara Stanwyck as a woman who gambled, and the stake was death in The Wages of Sin. And in weeks to come, you will hear such famous stars as Richard Widmark, Herbert Marshall, and William Holden, all appearing in tales well calculated to keep you in suspense. Tonight's Suspense Play was produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Bluskin. Parts of this program were transcribed. Rave Notice was written for Suspense by James Poe. Milton Berle appeared through the courtesy of Texaco. And remember, next week on Suspense, Miss Barbara Stanwyck in The Wages of Sin.
Barbara Stanwyck.
You can buy Autolite staple batteries, Autolite standard or resistor spark plugs, Autolite electrical parts at your neighborhood Autolite dealers. Switch to Autolite.
I am the Autolite man.
CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Oh, let me see your ID.
I'm the Autolite man. Here's my Autolite.
Let me see your ID.
I have a name
tag. They're everywhere.
I have a name tag. My Autolite name tag. My identification.
I looked in the mirror. It's me.
I don't know, but I bet you we could learn something. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Scar's Moral of the Story.
Whether bell ringer or gun slinger, someone has to pay for the performance.
See, if the pickle was ready, we could just keep this running.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, CBS Radio Mystery Theater, Charlie the Actor. That's tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern. Perhaps CW will join us. Gar will be preparing. He may drop in. He does sometimes, don't you, buddy? He'll be preparing for Horrible happen. Horror, starring Gar the Ghoul. And that's tomorrow at 8, when we're done horsing around with CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Hooray! And also, tomorrow, I will be premiering our latest Christmas music video parody song.
Yeah, I got to finish watching it.
2 weeks before Christmas, we'll be premiering.
I got the sneaky
All I
previews.
Want for Christmas. Yeah, all I want for Christmas is dough. Yep.
I got sneaky previews. I feel special. They call me Special Ed or Special K. Special. Join us tomorrow, 6:30 Eastern. Right after that, it's our man, Gar the Ghoul. Have you guys done any acting other than the horror host stuff from your past? Dave, I know you've always done something.
I even back in high school, I started off sound and then stood on stage and then got bit parts in high school productions and stuff.
I remember in elementary school, I got to play Santa Claus in a school play. Let's see, what else did I get to do? Oh, we did a talent show in junior high. I got to really write the whole thing. Skits from people. A lot of it was reworks of Big Chuck stuff. We even had a pizza eating contest. I was Mushmouth Mariano Kowalski.
We did a gong show. High school had a gong show. And we were the Statler Brothers instead of the Statler Brothers, but we were doing the song "I'll Go to My Grave Loving Food."
Oh, I love that. That sounds great. I would pay good money to see that.
Yeah, they gonged us. What's the matter with them? He had a guitar and everything.
Yeah, but I didn't do the high school like the arts. What are you gonna do? We're a little late here, so I guess we're gonna have the short outro of Vince here.
Right,
goodbye.
See you. Bye. Adios.
Are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And him.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone. Can you dig it?
You can. I dig it.
Or do come along, but bring a big stick.
Yes.
There we go. Yes. So what about you, Gar? Have you ever done any acts of thespian in the ship?
In my junior and senior years of high school, and also I took some courses in college.
Cool. What plays did you do in high school that you recall?
I did.
I can't remember the names.
Yeah. Okay. We did South Pacific, and I was also in The Crucible. All my friends were waiting for me to jump out of character and tell a joke or something, you know.
I was a huge Clint Eastwood fan in junior high, and I tried to convince them they should do. I would do it if they did Paint Your Wagon.
Okay, there you go.
And I wanted to do Paint Your Wagon. Such a fun movie.
Might have been a little involved for high school, but okay.
You know you were in for last when you have both Clint Eastwood and Lee Marvin singing. That's a problem.
Yeah.
But still an entertaining movie.
My father had always picked out references to this film, and you know, back in the 80s, you weren't necessarily as accessible to movie content as you are today. So sure. I would just go, sure, Pops. I got nothing. I never saw it. And then I did see it finally, but it was like within the last 5 years maybe. And I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was great.
Yeah. And then also gave us the song that gave us a great Smothers Brothers routine when they did the I Talk to the Trees from Paint Your Wife.
I talk to the trees, but they never listen to me.
They never know. Yeah, they never hear what I say. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You got a part in there where Dickie says, I never trusted those trees. I can't remember what that was.
He knocks on Dickie's bass and says, hey, you used to be a tree, didn't you?
Okay. That'll work, too.
We were all trees once.
I absolutely love the Smother Brothers albums.
Oh, yeah.
Growing up. Oh, my gosh. One where they were on the cover and they were both on stage and there was this woman that was painted in silver and she was or gold and she was the award they were winning.
Yeah, and that was Dickie's award and Tommy's award was a little pink trophy cup that like it was the size of his pinky finger, you know.
Those guys were just great.
Because Mom loved him best, that's why.
Always loved him best, that's right. No, one of the acting performances that I did, and this is even in high school, I've never been part of any of this stuff. Just it doesn't work for me, just never has. And I was like, okay, yeah. Some people don't like olives, I don't know. But I was never a per se, a religious person. Loose reference, but I was one of the plays I was in. They had me portray a priest, and I was like, "I'm going to die. There's going to be lightning striking or something. I don't know."
Now there's some acting.
Yeah, that's him. That's right.
Gar is a clergy person. There is a frightening thought.
That's a stretch, yeah.
You got 40 black
and I do remember that.
Movies in you, out.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, that was really bizarre. It was kind of like there was a Mork and Mindy episode where Mork shows up on the first thing and he's wearing a man's suit, but it's on backwards, and he looks like a clergy person. The coat's on backwards.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Sports
yeah,
game, yeah.
The collar. Yeah.
And that was kind of what we did to pull off the me as a clergy. We didn't have, the costuming for it, so we improvised. It was very weird. I wasn't disenfranchised from acting from that, but it was a stretch. It was a stretch.
For you, yes.
For me, yeah, me personally, my spiritual journey took a left turn on that one. I was like, what is going on? That was just like, okay. Mostly I would pick up comedy pieces and be a comedic part. It was just, I just always enjoyed it. And the wildest thing about the entire experience was how much fun I had. I just had fun. And if I can make someone laugh, I felt good about it.
That's what it's all about, man.
It is.
Secretly, I like people.
Laughter is the best currency ever made.
Yep. Yep. It is a gift.
It is. We've been doing stuff on the HH for a while. Where we will take something and flip it, modify it, morph it into a gar commodity of some type. And it's just funny. It's just really kind of funny to see the character expanded in so many different ways.
I've been watching my waistline expanding many, many ways.
I'm working treadmill, sit-up bench, and bench press to get stuff under control because, you know.
Sounds like work.
Yeah. Yeah, no, well, see, and I got to tell you, Dale, you are in the best position because all you got to do is put that doggy on a leash and start a walking, and it's amazing.
Yeah, let your dog take you for a walk.
I have been feeling better and losing weight since I got the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have fun together.
I found my buddy. It. I found the weight. I found the weight you lost.
Did you?
There's the old line that I lost 15 pounds, but it's all behind me now. Yeah.
yes, it is.
Yeah. I fell for that. Oh.
I can do an hour and a half on the treadmill and get a good distance on it, but there's nothing to replace going out and walking the dog for 3 miles. It's just like, wow, amazing. And it's fun. The dog likes it. I liked it. And somehow it stimulated me mentally. I would be listening to old radio shows to create Gar's moral of the story every week, and I would get more inspiration and odd ideas from taking a walk with the dog than I do sitting here going, okay, all right, are we going?
It would give me perspiration, not inspiration.
Yeah.
I got both.
Yeah, lots of it.
I got both. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, he's definitely, his idea of playing with a ball is just like no other dog I've ever seen. He wants to be chased. He wants to pretend he's doing something wrong. He wants you to yell at him, hey, you can't have that. And we're laughing. And the dog runs like a fool. And he loves it. But he doesn't return the ball. He doesn't fetch it. He doesn't get the idea that I can make you run after it if you just let me throw it.
Yeah. Dale, have you seen the Tim Allen movie, The Escape Clause. It's like the third series of the Santa Claus movies.
I have not. I've seen the first two, but I have not seen that one.
Okay. The third one has... Oh, God, what's his name?
No, that I recall.
The second city guy who wore his pants up really high.
Martin Short. Martin Short.
Yeah, Martin Short. Martin Short is Jack Frost, who's been slighted, he feels, and he wants to be Santa Claus. He's like, you guys don't give me my own day. I don't get – and he's like – and they're like, look, dude, you usher in a season. You're not a holiday. Chill out. And he's like, no, no. So anyway, so he hijacks the Santa Claus thing. But there's this crazy part of it, and I'm not kicking too many spoilers out on this, but there's a crazy part in it where Santa Claus has to pursue Jack Frost, I think. And the way he has to do it is he has to take a baby reindeer, but reindeer are huge. But it's a baby reindeer who has not had a whole lot of success flying and is just in training.
Does it happen to have a red
reindeer
nose by chance?
Does not. No, his name is like Jeff or something. It's a little kid. It's
just
a little kid. The
reindeer.
Voice is a little kid that is just laughing and having the craziest time. And they animate this reindeer going up and down and left and right. And like, and Santa's saying, hey, could you kind of keep this in a straight line? And he's all over the place and he's laughing and giggling and it's hilarious. I absolutely recommend, if you can find it, check it out and see it. The Escape Clause, that one piece in and of itself is enough to really pay for the rest of the film. Although I did like the rest of the film. But that one part about the little kid. They recorded the voice of a little kid just having an absolute ball. And they turned it into a reindeer. I was like, oh, my God, so much fun. I have been deeply infused in the Santa Claus stuff lately. Loving it.
Santa is cool.
I am all for Santa Claus and elves and magic and hot chocolate and all the fun because most of it does not have a weight to it. You know, it's just, hey, the spirit of giving, be happy, be joyful. There you go. You know, there's no big anchor on it. There you go. I enjoy this time of year. I like Halloween and I like that because it's kind of fun and spooky and this, that, and the other. But then it flips over, Turkey Day, and then Christmas, and I'm like, it's a great way to end out the year.
Yeah, it is. We'll have fun.
Yep.
We'll have fun here, and I hope everybody has fun with their families these holidays. That includes you folks listening in the archives.
Uh-huh. I was talking today, but I can't remember. When is Erie House going to flip over into Santa Claus mode? Another 2 weeks or a week?
Yeah, another 2 weeks here. On the day before Christmas Eve and Christmas Eve. Day, night, Christmas Eve.
I vote if we could. Could we maybe move the 24th to the 22nd and adjust that?
You want to move it up a week? We can do.
Yeah,
we can do that.
Let's take Christmas Eve off, and do it. Okay. And do it Thursday, Friday. Is everybody okay with that?
Okay, because that's I'm fine. Taking Saturday the 24th.
Do you want another Christmas night on the night before Christmas Eve? There, we can do that.
Okay. So are we saying the 22nd and the 23rd?
Yeah,
22nd, 23rd.
Yeah, 22nd and 23rd.
No, no, no.
23rd and 24th.
Oh, I see. 22nd, 23rd. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, Thursday,
okay.
Friday instead of Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
Right. I'm taking the 23rd and the 34th.
Can we do that?
Yeah. Yeah, we can do that.
Sweet.
Yeah, let's do that.
You really need to – okay, which way do you want to flip this? If you want to take a Saturday show and put it on Thursday, you need to get with CW, and is she going to be your co-host, or do you want me to drop by, or what?
Hey, you're always welcome to be here.
You're all family, yeah.
It's holiday time. Come on down.
You live here.
Okay.
We gave you keys. What do you want?
Is that what things are?
We put a room out back
for
you.
Keys?
Sorry, the, you know, the...
Oh, the outhouse? Yeah,
straw,
I know. I saw that.
Place, at least it's a place.
Well, if we do that, Dale, why don't we throw in an extra half hour then? If we're going to do it Thursday and Friday, we'll do 2 hours on Thursday and 2 hours Friday, and I'll pull up another show to go there.
If you like, well, it's going to be a little difficult for me on the Thursday because I got to work the next day. But that's okay.
Keep it to an hour.
We'll keep it to 90. That's fine.
No, let's do 2 hours. Hans, the hell with it. It's the holidays. The hell with it. Let's do it.
We got Hans Conrad. We can do the one show.
We can do two. Let's do it. 2 hours.
Sounds like
Dale's
going to get drunk and join us.
I am not going to get drunk. I would be asleep before the show is half over.
I cannot handle even,
after 17, 18 beers, then I'm just no good for, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No, seriously, I can't.
It's all you can do to drive home.
Two mixed drinks and I'm done. It messes up the sugar. It's just not good.
Yeah. Due to medical condition, I can't touch that stuff. But I tried it. My exposure to the spirits were beverage wise were when I was 18 back in the day. 18 was the day.
Yeah.
You could do it. But 18 to maybe 20 years old, and that was it. That was it. I was done. I was finished. That was it. And then I stopped.
I went a lot longer. It was an occupational hazard.
I had blackouts, and I had to address that. And then, you wake up somewhere, you don't know where you are. Where the heck am I? You got there somehow, but you don't know how.
I never had a true blackout. I had there would at least be a hint of a memory of a couple of things. And then once somebody told me a few things that happened, then it would mostly all come back.
I never drank to the point of blackout. I would be on base, on a military base, on base at the base bar, and I would drink. Mm-hmm. And I would never remember doing it, but somehow I made it from the bar back to the ship. No idea. Don't remember doing it. I don't remember someone carried me. I was like, I don't know. But that was it. And so when I finally got out.
You got a home.
Yeah, exactly. when I finally got out, I decided, well, maybe I've got a problem. And then I found out I don't have a problem. I just need to stop drinking.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's,
problem solved.
For me, it was after years of doing it as a DJ, and I started thinking, oh, my God, am I ever going to be able to walk away from this? Well, then I got hired at the Marriott where, no, there is no drinking by the staff here because you were on W-2. You weren't self-employed, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I didn't find myself drinking at home, so I'm like, I guess I don't have a problem. I was enjoying DJing there too much. That was a really good gig. I had a nice light system. A really good collection of their records, and then my own to add to it. It made for quite a selection to play from. We had big band nights. We had the Wixie 1260 guy coming in. Remember Mike Ivers, Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah, he would come in. He took me for a tour of Wixie, not Wixie 1260, but what was the oldie station? They're still around. I haven't listened to them in ages.
MJI?
Yeah, Magic.
Yeah.
He took me through Magic Studios. That was cool. And then we did an oldies night. They dressed me up like Wolfman Jack, and I did my Wolfman Jack impression. Well, there happened to be There happened to be some helium balloons. And I was introducing something, some act we were doing or some act somebody else was doing. And I grabbed one of the balloons and inhaled it. I go, this is what Wolfman Jack sounded like as a puppy.
Okay.
You know, with the helium where your voice is real high.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny then.
It was.
It's still funny now. Yep. That was good. I love, was my comic relief. Just like doing this here with you guys. It's like nice to have that, and hopefully you make a few people laugh along the way.
Entertain and bring in some good drama and scary shows and things like that.
Scary.
And put a smile on. I mean, that's what we all three try to do.
Yeah.
Through all of the shows that we've done. I think it's always been a key to everything that we've done here.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, I think the point sometimes of horror is it's connected in an odd way to comedy at times because of the relief you feel when the horror is over. Mm-hmm. When you walk out of the theater and go, okay, that was a movie. Or, you know, you find out that the killer wasn't a monster. He was a killer, and Scooby and the kids run off happy. But it's linked in an odd way with comedy, which is why I think dark comedies or horror comedies are popular and almost cult-like in their following, starting, you know, maybe with horror. I mean, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein up to the crazy stuff we have today, like Zombieland and Shaun of the Dead. Oh, God, if you guys have not seen Shaun of the Dead, you need to see Shaun of the Dead.
Have you seen Things Killing about the turkey that kills?
I have not. I've seen the ads for it, but I haven't seen the movie.
It's really bad. It is so bad. Oh. It's so bad. Today I ran across something. I was like, who? And I called up Dave and we had a discussion. I was in serious homework mode about Theater 5 because it didn't have an ending. And I think it left something out. It doesn't say whether the understudy hung himself or he saved himself. It insinuated
that he hung himself. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll never know.
But that was the end of the story. Yeah.
Well,
and since
the poor guy was
deal,
at the end of
had
his
to
run.
Put a, yeah. So since it didn't have a proper closing, we went ahead and put in that.
Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger ending, yeah.
It fit perfectly. Yeah. I was amazed, astounded, astonished, flabbergasted, and otherwise surprised.
What the heck?
I'm running out of adjectives.
I found acting shows on Dragnet, on Nightbeat, on a host of other things. I was like, oh, my God. And I had to listen to them and go, does this fit? You know, and I called up Dave and we'll just...
I pulled up and listened to it. But see, the thing is, those other ones you mentioned, I'm not sure about the Dragnet. It may have the Dragnet, but I already had that Nightbeat in there because I remember that. Nightbeat is such a well-written show. I love Nightbeat. So I love Frank Lovejoy and his presentation. And the fact is, the scripts are written so well. So I do have that one already scheduled in for the future. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I was trying to find something creepy, but stage and understudy and acting, and I was, you know, I checked out a lot of stuff before I talked to Dave because I wanted to have something to go, Dave, this seems like it's not working. How about this? And so.
Does it work?
Well, the Theater 5 with the Lone Ranger. Dave and I were talking about it, and it was like, put the Lone Ranger on there, and yeah, there you go. And I did that thing about the name could be the understudy, or because the Lone Ranger, hang them high. You know, why not? You know.
Oh, there you go. I like that.
Yeah, so that was the notes.
The title of one of my favorite Westerns.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it sounds like a Lone Ranger story. Yeah, I don't know. So,
Hang 'em High was a good Western. You could almost call that a horror story in a way.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
There had some
Yeah.
Strange qualities to it.
Anytime you've got some type of bizarre death, hanging, electrocution, dismemberment, firing squad. I mean, there's that thin note of this is kind of creepy. I was on the hunt earlier. But then Dave said, no, we'll fix it up. And I was like, all right, well, cool, because I already had the moral for it written out. But I was like, wait, it didn't end.
I'm done anyway. Yeah. How could there be a moral?
Oh, because I pick apart these things and come up with a moral that it's in there. It ties in. But, you know, sometimes you have to look a little bit deeper to find it, but it's there.
Or stretch.
Or stretch. Well, yeah, the one for 3 to 5 was the guy was going to hang himself. And I was like, hoisted by your own petard. And I was like, you're trying to figure out what a petard is, you know, and thought that was funny. Hoisted by, like, hanging, hoisted. So, okay.
Yep.
The Melton Burl thing, that was just way off center for Melton Burl for me.
Yeah.
Way out there.
Not what one would expect.
Right. In the introduction of that suspense, his role that was doing with somebody else.
I love when he got the gun. He got one. Is what kind of gun you want? One that shoots through fat.
Yeah. It was a fat rat. Yeah.
I thought that was so funny.
It's kind of amusing.
He said it so seriously.
Himself, yeah.
Yeah, but he said it so seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He sounded pretty dark, pretty angry.
And the guy selling the guns are like, I've got a gun that'll kill a rat. It's like, well, there you go. But his first role was a bell ringer. Melton Burl was upset because his role was given to somebody else, and that role was a bell ringer. Whatever that's about, you know. So my moral was whether bell ringer or gunslinger, because he later turned into a gunslinger, you know, so it all. But I pick a piece and then I put my teeth into that. And it can be so small, but it does fit.
Yep.
I was looking with Dave, and I think I've got more of the stories going back to 2017.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been about that long.
It's like,
since you started that routine, and I'll tell you what, it's been the greatest.
Yep.
I can't believe it's been that long.
We look forward to each and every one.
We do. Mm-hmm. That's why we have to try to come up with something when you're not with us.
Yeah,
and they're far inferior.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, hey, man. If you bring your own ball and your own bat, go for it. I'm like there, yeah. You know. When we first started this, I was like, you know, these things need a little twing at the end, a hook. And I thought, well, there you go.
See, when I try to do a garless moral of the story, I feel like Dick York. I'm sorry, Dick Sargent. Dick Sargent.
The second Baron.
Yeah, Dick Sargent. The second one, yeah.
Well, hey, even that guy, you know, did okay.
That's funny, though, is that... That's who we may remember. I think it was really Dick York that made that as much as, except for her short skirts, has made as much as Elizabeth Montgomery, because he was supposed to be, Dick Sargent was supposed to be, but he was locked into the Tammy Grimes show, so he couldn't get away.
Right. Yeah. He was supposed to be Darren first off. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And then it's weird, the Dick York thing, it was said in an interview with someone, that Elizabeth Montgomery despised him. Absolutely.
Really?
Probably because he was so good at getting his own laughs.
No.
Yeah.
It was said that he was too actually infatuated with Elizabeth Montgomery, and she didn't like it.
Oh, okay.
She did not like the attention. And
I can understand it being uncomfortable with your co-star when you don't feel, especially when your husband's the producer. and you're the producer as well.
Yeah, awkward.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Yes. And that was, somebody said they walked into a production meeting, and Elizabeth Montgomery, Dick York wasn't there, but they walked in, and Elizabeth Montgomery said, I am not going to work with that man, or something like that.
Yeah. You, out of here. Tell everyone you have back trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
or you're gonna.
Yeah. And what's weird is a lot of people are more tied to the Dick York Darren than they are the Dick Sargent one.
I like.
Well, he did it
better. The first guy.
Yeah, he did it longer, and you know what? She was ready to when he couldn't do it anymore. Because let's face it, his last season. Usually was him running off to work or coming back from work. He wasn't in really any of the episodes his last season there because he was just laying in bed.
There was one where he was laying in bed.
When he left, she was ready for it to end. But who was it? He was with ABC threw a ton of money at them to keep it going. So okay,
yeah.
They could have left when it was hot.
Yep.
And it's funny, they actually did leave it when it was still a hot commodity. It was still getting good numbers.
Yeah.
When it ended. But she was like, I'm done. And you know,
yeah.
Congrats. I mean, yeah. But,
well, she probably had enough of that damn Gladys Kravitz, too. So just annoying.
Now, here's one thing to think about, and I will give a nod to this. Dick York, there was one episode where they gave him enormously huge styrofoam or rubber ears or something. Right?
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Okay. Now, look at Dick Sargent. He did not have the face to ever pull that off.
No, that's true.
No.
But Dick York did.
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of weird, but that's it. That would have been incredibly bizarre. Although I think they turned Dick Sargent into a werewolf once, but it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
He turned into a werewolf. Bits and pieces, and then poof, he was a werewolf, and it was kind of weird. Yeah. I don't know that he pulled it off all that well, but, you know. And there's nothing wrong with speaking ill of the dead, because what are they going to say?
Yeah, true.
You know.
Too soon.
Is it? What's it been? 15 years? 30? I don't know.
It's still too soon.
Is it?
I don't know. It's...
What the heck was I looking at? The Mork and Mindy program has a Christmas special, and they have a haunted house episode. And I was looking at those recently.
You know, I think it was Thursday evenings. I made sure every Thursday I was there to watch Mork and Mindy, and I got to the point when. You know, it was long gone. It came back in syndication when, you know, like the MeTVs and Antenna TVs came out. I looked at it and said, I wasted every Thursday night. That show did not age well.
It's funny how you look at things differently when you see them later. Like, oh, my God, even maybe 5 or 10 years later, I used to love Lost in Space so much. I had no idea how corny it was to... like adults until I got a little bit older.
But the corniness was still the charm of it, to be honest with you. I still am as fascinated with Lost in Space as I was when it was on. But
I can still enjoy watching it, but it's just a completely different lens for me now.
Well, of course. We know more than what we knew then, and we know more than what they knew then, you know, because of all the things that we have done in space.
And if only Billy Mummy would really tell us what happened. No.
To who?
I just was always suspicious of Dr. Smith's motives.
Oh, yeah. It was later found out in real life that Bill Mumy and oh, now I can't think of her name. Angela Cartwright. We're actually romantically linked for a while. And, you know, I was like, wow, okay.
That's kind of cute.
As individual people, yes. But
yeah.
Lost in space with your sister. What? No. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's creepy. Hillbillies in space. But,
yeah. Dave, yeah. So Mork and Mindy from 1978 until when did they quit it? 1978-79, they were on Thursday. And then ABC or whatever station they were on, I think it was ABC, flipped them over to Sunday. And they were on Sunday from September until December. And they flipped them back over to Thursday. When they flipped them over on Sunday, I think they were – they put him up against Archie's Place or Archie Bunker or something like that. And they didn't fare well.
Archie Bunker's Place, yeah.
Yeah. And so then they flipped them back over in 1980. They flipped them back over, but they were never able to recapture that spark. And then they did X number of shows after
that. Last year, that's the year they had Jonathan Winters, right?
1980 to 1981. They had was the third season of Mork and Mindy, and that's when they brought in Jonathan Winters. And
Wasn't he Mork's another alien from Mork?
He was Mork's son. Right, because you
Mork
aged
went
in
through
the Orkins were aged in reverse. So they were old and
aged in reverse.
Right,
and they had a set of eggs. So Mork, in less than 15 minutes, was pregnant, and then Orkins don't have a belly button until they get pregnant, and the male carries the child, so Mork produces an egg out of his navel and goes, oh, my gosh, I'm pregnant. Oh, my gosh, it's a baby. And then it grows up to be Jonathan Winters.
God, that's horrible.
But it worked. And Mindy, Pam Dauber, Mindy is sitting there going like, what? Because Mork is almost like the mom. So for one episode, they were bouncing back and forth with the names where Mork was the mom and Mindy was the father. And then they straighten it out and like, no, Mindy's the mom and Mork's the father. And that's, you know,
I would be like, all right, let me make one thing. Let's get one thing straight from the beginning. You're being bottle fed. Okay. So.
Yeah. Well, she didn't go through anything, so. Yeah, so it had no impact on her physically, which is very odd. I'm not going to get into the logistics of it, but
do you mean?
What do I mean?
Yeah.
About logistics? About Mindy and her body? No, I'm not.
I was being a child.
Yes. So I found that the entire series, there was a lot of ludicrous stuff about it. Like there was that guy, what was his name? There was a guy that just, what was his name? I just saw him. And he was dressed in a robe, like a long canvas sack type, Orpheus or something like that. I can't remember his name, but freaking hilarious. The whole thing did have some really good premises on it. Essentially, it was Robin Williams confined to the small screen.
Yep.
Yeah. I just found this on Facebook, guys. Guys out skydiving, I think, for the first time, and the instructor, they jump out of the plane, and the instructor says, pull your chute. And he says, my shoe? He says, no, your parachute. My parachutes? Later, coroner says, where's his shoes? I'm sorry.
I like it. No, I think I approve. That one is approved.
That's fine. where's his shoes?
Yeah,
I ran across something where Someone said they wanted to open a $2 store, you know, so that everybody could raise their standards from the dollar store to the $2 store.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But one
it's
thing about
the
Morgan
store it, now.
There you go.
It's the bucket.
One
yeah,
thing about
the
Mork and Mindy thing is they could not kick those jokes out in 2022. 2022 would not accept a majority of the content from that show. Or
why
Johnny Carson, for that matter. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely not Johnny Carson or
yeah.
anybody.
And me in my mind, my brain sitting here, I'm going like, what's wrong with Johnny Carson? But no, mm-mm.
No, you are evil if you enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
And your whole family.
Yeah. Yeah. Dale, check this out. So we ran across a creepy episode of That Girl with Marlo Thomas from 1967 to 71.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so we modified it. And let me send you the imagery. Oh man, this was funny.
You modified it and what made it creepier or made it funnier?
Well, no, so that it's a horrible horror stamp on it.
I see.
Toast is ready. I just heard a ding.
Yep.
Okay.
Toast is ready. Yay!
Toast
oh,
is ready.
Darn,
okay,
of butter.
So, again, what's with you and that butter? What happened to it? Okay, well, hang on. Okay, well, heck with it. We'll do this. Okay, copy. Copy. And then...
Copy, boy.
Copy! And then paste. Okay. File. Save as... I can't type that. Really? Okay. So, okay, I got that. All right. Okay. So, file, save as.
I just heard a harmonica.
What's that?
That had to be Dave.
I heard
no,
a harmonica.
You're hearing my
oh,
wife's
no.
hearing my wife's TV downstairs. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
I don't know what's
right.
She's
harmonicas
usually watching Gunsmoke.
Fun.
I don't know what.
Harmonicas
I,
are fun.
Yeah, I've got a harmonica.
I should have learned to play one. Well.
Oh, I picked mine up in the what was it?
The harmonica store?
No, before I joined the military. Before I joined the military, I went and got a harmonica, and when I was on ship, I was playing a harmonica. I was like, Popeye would be proud. I don't know. All right. Let's, there we are. Okay.
There we go.
So we came up with this. And again, this is a nod to That Girl. We made That Ghoul.
That Ghoul. Okay.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, I like it.
That's cute. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your tie's in the wrong place, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of your bow tie's hanging kind of low, but
yeah, I was gonna say.
Well,
yeah.
See, if you look at the That Girl kite, it's her bouffant hairdo thing, and then her the lower part, and it's got a bow, and that was the actual.
Actually,
yeah, so.
I could picture you as like a king or a jack on a playing card with that piece of art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can picture that as a playing card. Yeah.
Yeah. That,
you should make a
deck
of cards. Or the back of a deck of cards.
Right.
That'd be cool.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. This is an original cartoon that I made, and I had some help with Tom helped me out with some aspects of it. Modified it because I had it all red, and he was like, no, the background needs to be pink because it ties in with That Girl. And the Marlo Thomas stylized outline is the hair, which makes me look like I have a bouffant. It's just really funny.
You don't usually? Oh, man.
No, sorry. Not me.
Disappointing.
Although I did, one of the reasons I was late was I got a haircut today. And
which
the
one?
Lady was like, which hair? All four of them.
Yeah.
And the beautician or whoever it was who was cutting my hair, stylist, cutter, I don't know what you call them today. They were like, man, what's with your hair? It's amazing. I was like, okay. It's just hair. I'm kind of attached to it, you know, but I don't know.
It's real.
Yeah, it's real. It's still attached. Hey, you know, I'm not throwing it out. You know, baby in the dishwater, whatever that was.
Yeah.
I'm hanging on to it. And then what
do
else?
So
we,
while
we
you can,
one...
let me tell you, I'm starting to.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm fortunate in the fact that I'll probably have a mane until I fall into the hole. Cancel. Same as, where are you? Okay, there. Okay, file. Save as this. I want to show you the second thing with the tail. Because the kite in the show has a tail on it. And so this was the – where are you guys? No.
I'm in Ohio.
Yeah, there you go. file. Save as. File. Save as. And so, yeah, there we go. So we came up with this. And that is pretty much a complete pick, draw, snatch from that TV show. And then we just put the Gar thing in there.
I want to make a video. We're using the That Girl theme, just with me doing different stuff and at the end throwing my hat up in the air.
That's Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
Marlo Thomas did that. Yeah. Marlo Thomas did that too, didn't she?
Yep.
She did.
Did she?
Yeah. Yes, she did.
But Mary Tyler Moore was.
I
want to
do the Mary Tyler Moore thing. I want to do it.
Mary Tyler Moore was after That Girl.
Was after. Yeah. So did they steal it or what? Yeah,
they
I don't know. What
stole it. They stole it.
That's okay.
Those Steelers.
Marlo Thomas made her money.
She did.
I think That Girl show, in syndication, when you hit 5 years, that's the bump. That means you're going to make it in syndication.
After all.
And she was the producer, so before residual, she was producer, so she gets paid every time that thing airs anywhere.
Right. And that was really, to the best, I mean, she did some one-offs, some single movies and stuff like that, but... TV movies, but I never saw her branch. Was she strong in anything else? I think that was
coffee.
Pretty much it. That was her
mark. She sell coffee or something for a while, or I don't know.
Oh, God. One of the crazy things.
Marlo Thomas, didn't she? She was on commercials for something. The heck was it?
Margaret Hamilton had a birthday either yesterday or today.
She'd have been
she
120.
Coffee.
She'd have been 100. Maybe that's what's maybe. On my mind. She'd have been 120.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So another weird thing about Marlo Thomas, I was talking with my producer guy, and we were talking, and he mentioned, you know, that he was really kind of enamored by her, and I was like, yeah, I mean, she was cute as a button. Now, that series ran from like 1968 to 71 or something like that. She was 30 years old when she did it, but she looked really young because she's only like 5'2" or something.
Yep.
Little teeny person. And her boyfriend in that was a big tall guy, like 6 foot something. Huh?
Yeah.
And it made her look even more petite. But she was still a very cute, very, very attractive woman.
Yep.
The
kind
that,
you
that
take
was all we had
mom.
Going on.
The kind you take.
Yeah.
Mom.
Well, We had the girls of Petticoat Junction. We had Bewitched. We had the I Dream of Jeannie. We had That Girl. We had, I mean, there were so many. All the girls that were on Laughing, Most mm-hmm. of those are pretty like, there you go.
Like Ruth Fuzzy.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Ruth Fuzzy. Oh, my gosh. Oh, she's still hot. Around still. She's been having problems, but she's still out there.
Oh, God bless her.
Joanne Worley's still out there, too.
No kidding. Holy cow. And I know, yeah. I saw them in like a reunion type thing they did. There was something there I saw on the internet. And they were all up there. But, yeah, Joanne Worley was still kicking it.
Yeah. Where was that? Let me see. And it was weird. Pam Dauber of Mork and Mindy, she was 27 or 28 years old when they started. Man, she looked like she was 20 to me. But, yeah, she's just a very youthful-looking woman. You know, it's like, yeah.
Some people have that. Gentlemen, I'm running out of steam.
Okay.
Then go hit the steam room.
Yes, that's right. So we have to turn off the house lights, turn on the three spotlights, and call out the one and only James Durante.
Good night.
Good
night.
Good night. Good night.
It's time to say good night. For this sake, but good night. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
Toodaloo!
Horrible, what we think, and
ink-a-dink-a-dink-a-do.
Good night. Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night,
folks.
And I agree.
Night, Mrs. Calabash.
Good night, Dale.
Good
night, Dave.
Good night, Garrett. Good night, Dave.
Good night, Dale. Good night, Garrett. Good night, John Boy.
I don't have it.